Yes, we are here today. Yes, it's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. Yes, it's almost Friday.
Yes, Bill is running around the studio.
He's getting some headphones, and yes, I may have saved your life. Literally.
You may have. Steve, there's trouble in our office. We're having trouble in the office.
Can I say I looked in this morning at about 8 minutes to 10, and I sensed a little trouble.
There is trouble.
Oh, no, it happened just now, and no one was in the office when the trouble started.
Oh, there's a little unease when I said hello, I thought.
But well, that's because you came
normal.
By.
Oh, okay. That's natural.
Can I tell you what happened? Because I really am kind of concerned for you.
All right.
I walked in the office to get my purse.
Yeah.
And I heard a speaker on, and so I turned my volume down thinking it was my speaker.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my speaker. And coming from your computer, I hear this computerized voice. This is an announcement from Microsoft. Your account has been hacked.
Right.
At this moment, your information
My credit card
and email and other vital information is being sent to hackers.
Right.
Again, I repeat. And I thought it was a joke. I thought you set me up because you're Mr. Prankster.
No, I didn't.
So I come in and tell you this, and you look at me like, good one.
I was sure you were messing with me, but I went in the office, and that's what it's doing. There's a gray screen on.
An error message.
Very official-looking language saying, your computer's been hacked, and your credit card information is now being sent out. And then there's a number to call.
Did you write down the number?
No.
And did the number say, we will ask for your social security number, your bank routing number, and your account numbers?
It didn't say that.
No.
But this, now, at home, a week and a half ago, there's some video player that I...
QuickTime.
It's QuickTime. That's the one. And it said, it's time for an update. So I updated it, and then as soon as I updated it, I now get all kinds of hacking messages no matter what I do.
We have been told through Bridget Carey on a Tech Tuesday that it's a big thing that QuickTime, I guess Windows is not creating a patch or something. So I know here at work, we eliminated QuickTime.
Oh, really?
And do you ever listen to Tech Tuesday? Because
no.
Bridget's really good.
No, I've not heard it.
I don't know what has happened, but it does seem like your account has been hacked.
Oh, great. What do I do now?
I don't know.
There's no way that Bill Gates.
Or David Gates from Bread.
Right,
is he
exactly.
The singer from Bread?
I've been mellow a little lately.
If a computer hacks 1,000 accounts,
that they
then
are
why
notifying
has
you
it
that way?
Hacked you?
No. That's more Nils Lofgren, but no, that's not true. That's not real.
I don't know.
There's no way it's real.
Says error message, and it wasn't 404, which means information not found. It was error message. And see, now this has happened to my old computer, a laptop, Asus, and I took a picture of the error screen, and I wanted to do something with that, and I haven't looked at the screen or the picture of this error message for the last 6 months. I'm just going to get a new computer.
That's my course of action as well, I think. Because in the past, when I've had this happen, I've had two different incidents. Once, I remember the website. There's a sports website I go to that does sports highlights all the time. And right in the middle of watching it, it stopped, and then there was some kind of a message on there saying that if I didn't go to a certain currency exchange and get $300 and send them the number, that my computer would just be useless.
I hope you did it.
No, I didn't do it.
That's a real thing.
I took the computer, I unplugged it, and there's a place fairly close to me, and I told him the story, and he just shook his head. And they got it out, and it cost me, to get rid of the virus, was $220 as opposed to the $300 that we paid the hijackers.
Sounds to me like he gave you the virus.
No, right,
I just got an email from you.
Are you serious?
No, now I'm screwing with you.
All right, good. Thank you.
There's no way that there's a talking computer program to tell you that you have a virus, Bill.
Well, that's what...
Have you ever in your life had a talking message from anyone? On the computer?
That was the first one I think I've ever had.
But I
did hear it. I mean, that part was legit.
Sure, I'm sure you heard it, but I'm sure it's a phishing scam.
I know it is. I'm positive
it is.
But once they lock into your computer, here at work, it's easy because we have a tech guy who comes in and he'll fix it.
And we have such firewalls here. There's no... And if you got a virus, then you got to check who you're chatting with because they need to go to a doctor.
Right. Right.
Because there's no way to get a virus here.
It's all Bolivian soccer players. That's all I talk to.
Did they need money also?
Some of them did. Yeah, why?
I just was wondering if they had an uncle who, you know.
Some of them.
He died and you're going to inherit some.
Are you
of
reading
his...
my email? You've been reading my email.
No, it's been talking out loud on your computer.
That part was the weird part. I've never seen that. But
wasn't
I've
weird?
I've had weird messages saying, if you don't do this, we're going to take control of your computer. But I've never had one that physically talks to me saying that.
All right. Well, Microsoft Security Essentials Windows Virus Warning. This is dated May 18th. I am getting a Microsoft Security Essentials virus warning page listing contact emergency virus support now, 800 number. The system has found two viruses, but it's not the audio. I'm not hearing the audio. You should get Art Nasseri on this.
I'm going to.
Because
I will.
I know you thought I was kidding because you are just the merry prankster. I am not. And I can't, if you could have seen his face, Steve, I came in and I said, Bill, something funky is going on with your computer.
Yeah.
There's some audio thing going on right now, exclaiming that your account has been hacked and all your credit card information. First of all, here's the thing. They're not going to say that. They're just going to.
I don't think they would.
No,
all your credit card information. Maybe you don't have
it.
A credit card. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
They're just trying to alarm you. But that is
what about my sub club card? Because I'm just two subs away from a free sandwich.
I don't think they can tell how many holes are punched in the card.
I think you're going to have to
Steve,
start
I don't
over.
Know. Don't say that.
Maybe
that...
Jared Fogle is doing this. He's hacking more than just.
I'm hoping that's
other
not
things.
Case.
Stop.
Okay.
I'm hoping that's not the case.
Let's find some information on this. And seriously, you should call Art and Sari just to look at this.
I will.
Because your face was like, "Oh, this is a good one." I said, "Bill, I don't prank. I'm
right.
not kidding.
Right.
Go listen." And you still hesitated.
I was still sure that you set this up.
I don't do that kind
of
thing.
No, of course not. All right.
Except I just got an email from you again.
Don't.
Oh, I did.
Don't. No, you did. No, you didn't. All right. We'll take a quick break. Technology is great, by the way, isn't it? I love technology.
We'll see what happens when I hit this button.
All right. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, my computer is in peril, and I have since dispatched Liam Neeson to find the men who did this and bring them to justice. He takes this very seriously, Liam Neeson does.
I believe I've done a little Googling, and this type of virus is called scareware.
Oh, the name's great.
Isn't it good?
Yeah, it's a good name, yeah.
Scareware is a type of malware designed to trick victims into purchasing and downloading useless and potentially dangerous software. Everything good, Art?
It's an just advertisement. An advertisement.
Okay, listen. I am just trying to be the watchdog around here. Bulldog Drummond is not here.
Right.
I'm gonna help everybody. I guess he was the bulldog.
Yeah, he was the bulldog, yeah.
Who was the watchdog? So we just it's nothing.
McGruff.
Okay. No, he's the crime dog.
Right. Lance Johnson?
Who's that?
He's one dog. We'll figure this out.
All I'm telling you, Art says not to worry. It was just, but
right.
It freaked me,
but
and it is scareware.
I hate when products try to trick you into using them. Dental floss.
No, that's actual
right.
good to use. That's
right.
that's good for
oh,
you.
See, they got Wendy.
No. Hey, I noticed the difference between when I floss and when I don't at my six-month checkup. I'll just tell you that. So I floss all the time.
All right.
I will tell you that there are very many times that something will pop up on your computer, and I'm irritated that kids fall for this because I feel they are more technologically adept than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, your computer has a virus. Click this, and we will filter that virus out. People get stuck by that all the time. Don't click on pop-ups.
I'll tell you what I'll do. The one that screwed me up a week and a half ago, and now every time I'm on my computer, there's constant windows that pop up saying, we have scanned your computer. We have found this many errors, and the best way to fix it is by calling this company.
Don't.
But now I have the name of that company and their phone number. Isn't there some agency I can report that to? Because they
yes.
put that there.
Better Business Bureau.
Is that who does it?
Call right. John Bulldog Drummond.
I think he's retired. I'm pretty
like,
sure he's retired.
Retired from the business?
Yeah, I think he's
oh,
out
okay.
of the business.
Not from life?
No.
Okay. Urgent call to action. This came over in April, and Trend Micro is, I use their antivirus at home.
Yeah.
And it's an urgent call to action. Uninstall QuickTime for Windows today. They are putting the word out, Bridget Carey did as well, that you should uninstall QuickTime for Windows as soon as possible for two reasons. All right, we might have an update.
Art, can you come on the air with us?
Art, you can come on the air.
Is that right?
We'll change your name to protect the innocent. Is it real? Is it something to be worried about?
Eddie, can you come on the air with us?
A while back, they had a little thing.
You got to talk into the microphone.
Well, what is
come on, you know that.
Wow. Art.
Yeah, actually, it was from TSA, and I think...
from the TSA?
They put a little note out that there is something wrong with...
So TSA got hacked?
No, they didn't get hacked. Actually, there was something with the government.
Okay, well,
it was
quick,
a mix-up.
Now we're talking QuickTime?
It's QuickTime right now.
Is that what caused this pop-up?
This is not... No, that's an advertisement. That's a scareware.
Is it from going to porn sites?
Different sites you go to, they have...
Bill?
Embedded code sometimes and things pop out, and that's what happens, really. But
Pornhub is not show
that's
research.
That's show research.
But the QuickTime, I believe we uninstalled here, and it was a major announcement to do it because they weren't upgrading patches or something, and it can be very make you vulnerable.
Right,
just
based
like
on information that's out there, that was basically on for Windows computers.
Oh, for Windows computers.
Right, for Apple computers, you could keep it on, and they're updating that.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I need to get a new laptop, and that's what makes me want to buy an Apple. I know there are minor...
But there are still viruses that go through, right, Art? With Apple,
hardly any.
Not as many.
You just have to keep an open mind.
What about at home? I have a Commodore 64. Is
that's
more susceptible?
You know what? That is perfect because it's so old the hackers can't get into
right.
it.
That's totally
I never get hacked on my Commodore.
All right. Now, is this something called scareware then that pops up that really... I have never heard an audio alert saying your account has been hacked because I just thought it would be weird. Like they are... The hackers are sending your credit card information to other hackers right now. It just seemed really bizarre.
The last thing you really want to do is just give them any personal information because they use that. They share that information with other companies.
And and that's how you're going to get hacked.
Right, exactly. And that's basically an advertisement. Just pop an ad on. So they're hoping you click on any buttons and just take you redirected to different sites and
but
just
you could see
there.
Where that would scare the heck out of you where you would click on that. Don't, though. Just close the window
just
close log
the window,
off.
Right. There is a quick way of doing it. You could click on Alt and F4 on the keyboard, and you could just close all
this
the browser
is the magic
windows.
Of art and science.
Alt and F4. Now, how would the average person know that? There's no way
they
we would know
art.
That. Is that the best way to do it is to ask you?
There we go.
What is it, Alt?
Alt and
F4. Alt F4. And, that's on Windows computers, right. I mean, that usually works in some, most of the time it works.
All right. I know this will seem like an intrusion to you, but anytime I use a computer at home or at work, could you sit next to me?
Sure.
All right. It'll make life a little easier.
Full service.
That is a very full service.
All right. Well, here's your public service announcement. If you get some kind of audio warning that pops up that says you've picked up a virus or malware, that's what they said, and right as we speak, all your credit card information is being sent to hackers, it is scareware. It's not accurate, but is it best just to log off your computer?
But see, some of them are real viruses, though. I mean, you can't just dismiss all of them as a scam.
Oh, well,
so
this complicates things.
Keep an open eye.
Okay.
Make sure your pretty much your firewall and all the virus scanning software on your computers are updated.
And here's a great tip that I just learned online, maybe from a hacker, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if there is a phone number to call, don't call that phone number and call Microsoft.
Never contact any numbers or any email addresses or anything
that pop up
on the computer.
Is
right?
that why you never text me back? Because I
there
it
you
popped
go.
Up on-
That's it. You figured it out.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you very much. We'll take a quick break.
Problem solved.
Problem
another
solved.
Case.
How about that, Mrs. Colombo?
He looks good in that cape, doesn't he, Art?
Yes, he does. Steve's got the news in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Wendy, Steve, did either of you see the last broadcast last night for Ron Majors over on Channel 7?
I did not. I will be seeing it on YouTube or on the video.
Okay. Steve, did you watch?
I did not. I was
you didn't see it?
Busy last night.
Very emotional.
What's more was important it? Than Ron Majors last night?
My answer. Son's high school graduation.
Oh, okay.
And I knew that, so I set you up.
That Thank is more you. Important. That is more important.
Turns out he didn't get the diploma, but we were there.
Oh, that's not nice. Yeah.
That's all right. Overrated. you don't need to graduate from high school. Ron Majors has been on the air all told for about 50 years and in Chicago for 30 plus years.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing. And they showed a bunch of clips, a nice retrospect of his work.
And how gray his hair got, because remember when it was all suave and black and Looks better gray if you know the truth.
That guy's the epitome of cool.
Absolutely.
He just is. Who do you think lost it last night? Who do you think wept on the air? It was not Linda Yu. Linda Yu was not, as part of the 10 o'clock broadcast, she was not there. I'll tell you who your players were. You had Kathy Brock, Ron's co-anchor. Cheryl Burton was there. Mark Giangreco was there. Jerry Taft was there. Paul Meineke was there.
Jerry Taft always cries, so it's not him.
Jerry Taft did not cry on camera. He may have cried afterwards. At the very end, it was really very emotional, but it was not Jerry Taft who wept.
Who's the other gentleman?
And I'm gonna and I will also put Ron Major's name into that hat as well. Somebody did openly weep at the end there last night. Who would it have been?
I forgot who the other anchor was.
Kathy Brock.
The male.
Paul,
No, I'm sorry, Giangreco.
Oh, Alan Krzyzewski was also there, just throwing warm-up pitches in the background, which was awkward.
He's not crying, he's smiling.
Was he saying, pull him, pull him?
Yeah, yeah, pull him, go to the right-hander, he kept yelling out.
Giangreco.
Mark Giangreco cried. He wept.
He has got such a great heart, Mark Giangreco.
Yeah.
He really does, and he's been with Ron a long time.
He was with Ron at Channel 5,
yep.
And now they're both at
yep.
Channel 7. And they showed a clip earlier in the day at the White Sox game. I don't know if people know this. This will sound like I'm making it up, but I'm not making this up. Ron Majors and Robin Ventura are cousins. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, they're cousins.
I know Ron threw out the first pitch.
He did. They made a big deal out of Ron.
God, that's how you get to do it?
Yeah, you have to be cousins with the manager, and then they let you throw out the first pitch. So they showed a great clip of Ron at the White Sox game, and he was with Robin Ventura, and they're exchanging the lineup cards with the umpires, and it looked like a lot of fun. Everybody was all smiling, smiles and stuff like that. And then Mark Giangreco was finishing off. He's showing that clip, and he said, "And I filled out I filled up a lineup card here in the studio, and where it said your name, I wrote in Home Run King." And then he started to cry, and he said, "I love you," and. That
and
was,
you cried too,
I was
didn't
watching
you?
Up going,
oh.
I'm with you, Mark Giangreco. I'd be weeping too.
Oh, my God. I love Mark Giangreco.
Yeah.
That's very sweet.
Isn't that nice?
Another
that
sweet
so nice.
Moment. You can find it on Linda Yu's Facebook page and probably all over the place. But she took a video as Ron was walking into his little office. I guess somebody, and I'm not giving credit where credit is due, but it's somebody from their video department or something who completely filled Ron's office with Hershey Kisses.
Oh, nice.
All over the desktop.
Yeah.
On the little overhead cabinets.
Yeah.
And Ron was explaining to Linda, who was videotaping, that they use tape for each and every one. And then it showed the wall where it said, you know, Ron. And Ron said, you know, it really said, congratulations, Ron Majors, but I ate most of those kisses. It's so sweet. And Linda's, to me, seems a little choked up as she's videoing. It's just a legendary broadcaster.
You know, they showed a bunch of clips. For me, it was nice to see him, you know, go through the years. That was great. But the coolest thing was they followed him around with a camera a little bit as he just kind of did his day, you know, like he's at pitch meetings for stories and in the editing room and stuff like that. And then they show him walking in front of ABC7 on State Street. And this couple comes up to him with a camera. And you think what's going to happen is they go, oh, my gosh, it's Ron Majors. We watch you on TV. Can we get a picture with you? But what they do is they walk up to him and they go, hey, could you just take our picture? So he goes, yeah, sure, why not? So then they just, you know, are on the side of the road and he snaps their picture.
If they're from another city, they don't know who he is.
Of course not.
Oh,
is
that funny?
Although I was with him in a sandwich shop on State Street once. I was lucky enough when I was at WLS, he was on the show for half an hour every day. He'd come in and spend a half an hour with us, and it was one of the highlights of the show. And one time at lunch, there's a restaurant on the corner there, a sandwich shop, and these people are behind us are just looking at him and looking at him, and one goes, I think it's him. No, it's not him. Is it him? It can't be him, like that. And I imagine he goes through this every day because people see him on TV, and they don't know if it really is him or not. And then finally, the lady goes, it can't be him. The real one is much fatter. He's not fat at all.
No.
Why would she say that?
That's so rude.
Isn't
anyway.
That weird? The real one's a lot fatter.
Well, the camera does gain, you know, add, what, 10 or 20 pounds? 50 pounds,
maybe?
Has
he ever looked like he's even a little bit overweight? Not even a little bit.
No.
But when I told him that, he couldn't stop laughing. He thought that was hysterical.
He's such a nice guy.
it was great. And at the very end, you know what they did, which was nice? They showed these clips, and then they cut back to him, and he's just by himself at the desk. You know, usually you've got the ABC7 team around you, but it's just him, and he's just kind of talking about what a great journey it's been and how much he's enjoyed it, and it was fun to watch.
I'll have to watch that video, but also find the one with Linda Yu taping him with the Hershey's Kisses because it's really sweet.
All right. I'll miss him tremendously. We all will. That guy did a great job. All right, a quick break and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
A couple of texts that were sent to us at 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy, when I was in high school, my friend's older sister had an internship at Channel 5. My friend and I went downtown for a visit and met Ron Majors, Deborah Norville, and Mark Giangreco. All were so nice.
Yeah.
She was with them? I thought she was Channel 2.
No, Deborah Norville was Channel 5. She was 5.
I guess it's like this in every city, but I always felt that it was just so much more so in Chicago where, you know, your newscasters just become idols.
Oh, without a doubt.
They really do.
Yeah. I don't know. I know in other cities it does play an important role, but for some reason in this city in particular, and we've had, I don't even want to list the great ones because we have had some great ones here.
Still do.
I don't want to leave anybody out. We still do. There's no doubt about it. There's some really, really great people. We're fortunate here in Chicago.
I do love the Chicago news people.
Yeah.
And
they're great.
Yes. Radio, too. Did we mention radio?
Yeah. I was thinking.
847 says, please advise, was Ron Majors ever a fighter pilot? I heard he was. Thank you.
No, Jerry Taft had a pretty big career in the military.
Right.
But to my knowledge, I don't think Ron Majors was. Although the name Major Majors would be really cool.
Roger that, Major Majors.
Do you know your thought bubble just came out on the air?
Oh, it did? Sorry.
Here's another little Ron Majors story, 630. My kids and I were at the circus. That's it. Isn't that lovely?
That's a good text.
Ron was ahead of me in line with what must have been his grandkids. When he turned around after he paid, I smiled and said, hi, Ron. He smiled and nodded. My son asked who that was, and I said, he's the Channel 7 newscaster, Ron Majors. My son said, why did you call him? And why are you smiling so big? And I just said, everybody knows Ron. That was the coolest thing ever. But my son was very embarrassed by me.
Oh, no.
That's what mom's roles
are. He always handled those moments very well. Anytime I ever saw anybody approach him, he always handled it really, really well. So we will miss him.
Major Majors.
Major Majors. Did you see this map? Now, Steve, this has a lot to do with you because for the last 2 years, as they announced the most popular names in the United States for newborns,
I know where you're going.
Steve has cornered the market somehow, but did it years and years ago.
Decades, really. 20 years ago, he started.
20 years ago.
And you had the top female and top male name.
Emma and Noah.
Those have been, for the last 2 years, the most popular baby names in the United States, and Steve was way ahead of the game on this.
Right.
He's a prophet.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to be. I wanted the kids to have some
originality.
A bit. Yeah.
It really was back then, though, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's just you're a trendsetter.
Now they're like Mike and Julie.
Well, here's what came out. The Social Security Administration just released a state-by-state graph of which is the most popular baby name in every state, and I am amazed. There's 50 states.
There are? You were amazed by that, too?
That part I was amazed by. I thought there were like 13, but it turns out there's 50 now. But I was more amazed at the uniformity throughout the states of how, like, for instance.
Is Michael still popular? Because that
Michael was not the number one name in any of the 50 states.
See, now look at that, Steve Bertrand, because Michael, I knew everybody was named Michael. It was the most popular name for years.
Yeah.
But Jim wanted to name him Michael, and now it's not as common.
It has tapered off dramatically. All the names, when we were kids, all the names that were the most popular, you had
Bill.
Your Robert, you had your William. William is the only one, and I can't figure out why. I've had the name my whole life. It's fine, but it doesn't dazzle. But
it's a beautiful name.
In so many of the states, especially the South, in every state in the South, every single state except for two, Louisiana, where Noah is the number one name.
Really?
And Florida,
I'd
where...
I'd expect Gator to be in Louisiana.
Gator's number four. The name Gator is the fourth most popular name. In Texas, in New Mexico, in
Hoss?
Almost that whole... No, Noah is very popular
really?
Along the border states. That entire border from California, where Noah is the most popular name.
And that I believe, but I don't see that as being like a Texas or Louisiana name.
All the way through,
wow.
It's Noah all the way through. Then as you get to the south, it's William in every state except for, like I said, Louisiana, where it's Noah. And then the state of Florida has just Liam, which is a shortened version of William. It's if you're in a hurry and you can't say William, you just say Liam because you got to be somewhere.
No, it's just cooler. Why don't you start going by Liam?
Too pretentious. Way too pretentious.
Oh, my God. You do not look like it a is. Liam.
I don't. Do I?
No.
In Ireland, it works. I think that's a great name for an Irish guy. If you're in Ireland, name all your kids Liam. But to me, it's just weird that a nickname is just the last part. Like if your nickname was just Ndi, wouldn't that be weird?
No, Liam, they name him Liam.
Yeah, I don't think that's a nickname, is it?
No, it's a name.
But it comes from, like when I was a kid, there were two Liams, and their real names were both William, but they were shortened to Liam.
Okay, because now people don't...
Now it's just a name. That's the name.
And I like to think I brought the name Declan to the Chicago area. When you and I worked together, I had a cat named Declan.
Right.
Which is Elvis Costello's real name.
Right.
And there are some radio people who have a son named Declan.
Yeah.
It's become, there are a lot of Declans. I brought it to Chicago.
And that was popular in Ireland forever.
Absolutely.
But now it's become
my cat.
I think Irish names in general are much more popular here now.
They are.
Siobhan and...
Way more. We have several friends and all their kids have Irish names. The name Oliver is number one in only two states.
Please, sir. I have some more?
It's because of Oliver Twist.
More what?
Because if you name
more
your...
Gruel.
If you name your son Oliver, you get an unlimited supply of gruel. Did you know that?
Okay, I'm going to say...
The gruel world.
I'm going to go with Montana.
Oliver.
It's not Montana,
it's
no.
It's Pennsylvania for sure.
It's Washington State.
Mm.
And then South Dakota.
Ah, so how about that?
Why would that be?
I don't have any idea, but I was drawn to the West like that.
I wonder why. The only name...
Prophet, I'm telling you.
Because if you go through all 50 states with guy names anyway, you're going to get either Noah, Liam, or William, or Oliver in every state but two. In New Hampshire, the name Jackson is number one.
I know a lot of Jacksons.
It's becoming a much bigger thing.
Although I thought it waned. It got popular for a while. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's a good name, isn't it? And then in Delaware, the name Mason is number one. Oh, wait, one more. In Massachusetts, Benjamin is number one. But other than that, it's William, Liam, Noah, and Oliver. I thought Henry may... Oh, yeah, there's two states where Henry is the number one name. That seems like a throwback, doesn't it?
I went to... That was my first boyfriend.
Was Henry?
Hank.
Henry Cabot Lodge?
Yes.
Was that your first
boyfriend?
You
know him, too? Was he your first boyfriend?
Very wealthy. No, he's just very wealthy.
And Mason, I wanted to name Michael Mason. I just thought that was a cool name. That
right.
Or Marshall. And this is before I knew Eminem's real name was Marshall.
Marshall Mathers.
But I like those two, and Jim just wanted Michael. There was no looking back, so I'm trying to come up with all these. I wanted a different name,
yeah.
Something unique.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm a Wendy, Jim's a Jim.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah, do something unique. So then I thought.
Jim D. That'd be cool.
No, if people do that.
That would be excellent.
I suggested Cooper, because Jim loves baseball, and
right.
I thought in honor
Cooperstown?
Of Cooperstown, how about Cooper? And he said, it sounds like a soap opera name. And I'm like, yeah, that's a popular way to do it.
Yeah, right.
And so when I got a little gift card on my shower gift, my sister wrote to Cooper, crossed out, Mason, crossed out,
that's
Marshall,
funny.
Crossed
that's
out,
funny.
Giuseppe, crossed out. Because I couldn't make up, and then we just went with Michael.
Now, how about this? On the girls' side... The most popular name, Emma is the most popular name in roughly half the states.
Now that's throwback too.
Very much so.
Beautiful
Very much
name.
So. In the West, if you go to the West, Sophia is the number one name in most of the Western states.
Can I tell you that was our second choice 20
Sophia
years ago?
Been?
Yeah.
With an F or a PH?
PH.
Because the Italian is F. My cousin named his daughter Sophia with an F.
Both names register high. I wonder if Sophia Vergara has anything to do with it. Do you think?
Well, Sophia really hit a surgence before Sophia
Did
Vergara.
It?
Yeah.
It was already popular?
Yes.
They say that, because I'm interested in this, but that the sounds, it's not the actual name, but it's the manner of the sounds. And I don't remember the exact thing, but if it's bad times, rough times, you tend to have stronger, tougher, more guttural
oh,
sounding names.
Well, with the girls' names, it makes sense, but nearly every of the 50 states, the most popular name for the girls anyway, almost all end in an A. You have Emma, you have Sophia, you have Olivia, you have Mia, you have Ava, Isabella. They're almost all ends in an A. The only anomalies to that, I'm trying to remember which state it was. Oh, it's D.C., the District
Vivian?
Of Columbia. No, in D.C., the number one name is Genesis.
What? Are we talking cars or kids?
No, or computer games?
Genesis.
Genesis is the number one name in the District of Columbia.
I have not ever met anyone named Genesis that's been their real name.
I think it's more in the African-American community, I think. I'm pretty sure that's
beautiful. I have never heard it.
Oh, it's a beautiful name.
I know some African-American people, too.
But none named Genesis.
No, never have heard that name.
But again, it's very regional, almost through the entire South, with one or two exceptions. The number one name is Ava. Florida, again, not subscribing to that. Isabella is the number one name in Florida.
That was popular for a while, too. Like for the last 17 years or so.
Yeah. In the West, throughout the West, as I said, it's mostly Sophia. If you're looking in the Midwest, it's Emma in nearly every state, not in Illinois. Olivia is the number one girl's name as of last year for girls, Olivia. And then in one state, what state would this be? South Dakota, the name Harper is the number one name.
Can I just say, not to keep bringing this back to me, but it's just, it's very weird. It's very weird. Because we saved our sheets of paper, the possible girl names, when Emma was born.
Mm-hmm.
And they were Emma, Sophia, and Olivia.
And those are the three reigning champions for girls' names for now.
So whatever seed or whatever, you know, it's bearing fruit now, the seeds were probably planted back then.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Tina, you thought of a name back in 88. What was that name?
Yeah. Well, I wanted an unusual name for my daughter, and I always loved Lauren Bacall, so because she's beautiful and strong. So I thought, oh, let's name her Lauren. Have this beautiful daughter, and when she's 6 months old, I'm taking her for portraits. And the photographer goes, oh, Lauren, that's the flavor of the month this year. And I'm like, what?
Wah,
and
wah.
Then, sure enough, as she's gone through school, I mean, she's 27 now, but there was tons of Laurens. And there was even, our last name is Carl, there was even a Lauren Carr in her same grade. It was like, what the hell did I do? I thought I had this beautiful name, you know?
It's so funny how a name like that, which isn't overused, all of a sudden you just go, wow, how did that happen so fast?
Exactly. Like, it wasn't like I named her Susie or something like that.
Right.
I would think there'd be tons of different names. Yep. But there you go. You never know.
Flavor of the day, Tina.
Flavor of the day. Dang it.
That's all right.
Have a good one.
The name Dang It, by the way, number 4 for the state of Illinois.
What about Dag Nabbit?
Ninth.
Is that in Texas?
Yeah, in Texas. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Steve has the news for you. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Oops, sorry, Bill. Was that a zombie? I turned your mic on just as you were clearing
your throat.
There was
a zombie behind me for a minute.
I'm apologizing.
I warded him off. I whipped milk duds at him.
I hear this music, and I begin to get excited for the next season of Walking Dead. I'm watching Fear the Walking Dead. Are you?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't come to love those characters as much as Rick and Coral and everybody else, but I am doing it, and I'm going to Walker Stalker Con this weekend, and there's this new Walking Dead experience coming to the Chicago area, and I think I have to try this. You might want to as well. On the line with us right now is James Frazier. Hi, James. How are you?
Doing great. How are you all?
We're doing well. Tell us about this Walking Dead experience. It's an interactive show, and it's coming to the Chicago area. It's coming this weekend, correct? Donald D. Stevens Convention Center at Walker Stalker Con.
That's right. You actually don't even have to have a ticket to Walker Stalker Con to come out and enjoy the Walking Dead experience. It's about a 30-minute immersive, interactive, theatrical escape room, and it sets you right in the start of the zombie apocalypse. And it's up to you and your group to get through a series of rooms and events and get out alive.
All right. Well, so take us through this. You walk in, and you're the owner of this Walking Dead experience, correct? The owner-operator?
Correct. I, along with Robert Kirkman, who, of course, created The Walking Dead.
Absolutely.
And a gentleman by the name of Michael Counts. Put together this immersive experience. Essentially, you walk in with a group. You'll start out kind of maybe in the trailer park district of some city, and you're thrown right into the Walker apocalypse, and immediately sight, sound, smells. I mean, everything.
Really, the smells.
Right in.
Yeah.
Oh, feels. I mean,
they're not going to touch you, are they?
There's a possibility if you don't get away fast enough, you can end up being one of them.
I'm dead in 20 seconds.
Well, James, you said at the beginning of this that your goal is to get out alive, so some of the people who take this experience will be killed, won't they?
I can confirm.
All right.
That will happen.
All right.
You know what I find so cool about this, James, is every time, if you're into The Walking Dead, you somehow come into the conversation with your family members. Okay, so who is the one of your family members that's going to make it?
Right.
I'm going to be gone, honestly.
5 seconds in.
Yeah, because I'm like, what, this isn't living?
Right.
I won't be able to do my hair.
Right.
Where will I get makeup? I have no food. I'm done.
Can Wendy get a discount if she's only in there for 5 seconds? Because honestly, James, I can't see her lasting more than that.
Well, we do have a universal sign of defeat. It's literally you crouch down in a fetal position to let them know that
she's already in that position right now. I'm watching her.
Seriously, and my 13-year-old son Dylan is the one who turned me on to this show. Me and my husband weren't watching it. Mom, you got to watch mm-hmm. it. I said, I'm not really into zombies, Dylan. And he said, it's more than just zombies. It's relationships. It's more about the living than the zombies. And then I completely got sucked into it.
Yeah.
He's the one who is going to survive forever.
Oh, yeah.
Would you, Bill?
Yeah, I'd be fine.
No, see, you I'd say that all flippant.
I've been in zombie apocalypses before. It's not, I mean,
would
really,
you eat canned tuna?
Yeah, I would have some canned tuna. Sure. James, you sat down with Robert Kirkman. This is the guy who first came up with the concept, the graphic novels
right.
of what's that guy like? Is he easy to work with?
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I think it's reflected just in the storytelling of The Walking Dead. And then, of course, he's got his new show coming out called Outcast, which kind of sets in the world of like exorcisms. But the guy is just brilliant. He knows how to tell a story. He knows how to connect the reader or the viewer to the characters. He does a great job.
And did he come to you with this concept of making it more three-dimensional and letting fans into the environment, or did you come to him? How did that happen?
Well, we started working with Kirkman's company, Skybound, last year by incorporating them into Walker Stalker Con by connecting them to the comic books. And we were trying to find more ways for people to have interactive opportunities at Walker Stalker Con. And, of course, the escape rooms started to become real big across the country, and these theatrical immersive-type things. So we started just really to throw the idea of how could we do something like that with The Walking Dead at Walker Stalker Con. And then, a team of people really put together this concept, and then, now it's executed, and it's been receiving rave reviews. I'm from Fangoria to the New York Times. Everybody has just loved it.
All right, I might be too scared to do this. Going to Walker Stalker Con this weekend. It's going on at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center this Saturday and Sunday. It's Walker Stalker Con. And so this is right as the outbreak of zombification is happening. So mm-hmm. at first, I guess you can tell when somebody is zombified.
Oh, yeah.
But when they start getting sick, it's like, that's what I'm all worried about. Like, I would kill someone before they actually change. So maybe I'll try not to kill someone. And how does this work? Because with zombies, you have to get them, you have to get to the brain matter. So, I mean, we're not fighting them. We're just kind of
running
witnessing
away from them
this.
Or what?
Yeah, you're going to have to use a lot of the tools that you've seen in the world of The Walking Dead, covering yourself with zombie guts.
You can blend in. That is the way to do it.
Oh, yeah. Making sounds and distracting, groups of walkers.
That's Wendy, by the way, James.
You've come to learn.
How's that? Wait, listen.
Listen to Wendy, listen.
Isn't that pretty good?
That's pretty good.
All right, I'm going to fit right
that's
in.
That's excellent.
Plus,
that's
sometimes my hair's very messy, so I look like a zombie.
And you actually can participate as a walker in this. You don't have to just be a survivor. You can get made up by professional makeup artists with The Walking Dead and roam the course as a walker.
Is this inside or outside?
It's inside the inside of Walker Stalker Con, but the event itself is contained within two semi-trailers and two large tents.
Okay.
So you're covered. Mm-hmm.
I ask in case it rains because there's nothing weirder than zombies with umbrellas. You know that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always strange to see that.
I have to tell you, James Frazier is on the line with us, the owner of the Walking Dead Experience, which you can experience this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Donald D. Stevens Convention Center during Walker Stalker Con. Anytime we go out to lunch, James, I have to tell you, Bill doesn't like me to come with because I walk very
way
slowly,
too slow.
So I would make an awesome zombie. And I love makeup, so I may have to try this out.
You should totally try it. And then all day you get to scare people. It doesn't get better.
Think about it, Wendy. It's not a bad existence.
This is my first foray into cosplay. I might be very excited about it, this Walker Stalker Con.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Is there a fee for this?
You
once you you get in Walker Stalker Con, it's a 30-minute experience.
Yeah, you can go to the website, which is TWDEXP, which stands for the Walking Dead Experience .com, you can purchase tickets there. You don't actually have to have tickets to Walker Stalker Con to go into the Walking Dead Experience. Friday night of this week, tickets are half off, and they range somewhere between $30 and $60.
That's not bad.
It's like $1 a minute just to get scared.
Right, right.
Beepless.
Right. James, you picked the right show to do this with. I loved Everybody Loves Raymond, but I can't see this working with a show like that. Can you?
Come on, Robert, trying to get you.
All right,
you.
That would have been cool. All right.
Raymond.
Right, that
would
have
be
been
good.
Fun. All right.
Pretty great, James. So nice to meet you. And I'll see how I feel when I get there this
weekend.
Oh,
you're going to have a blast.
Awesome. You got to do it.
Thanks, James.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Again, it's TWDEXP.com. That's the website that stands for the Walking Dead Experience.com, and ticket information is there. I kind of really want to do it.
You are going to do it, aren't you?
You know me. I back out of everything. I'm going to Walker Stalker Con, but when a push comes to shove,
it's
I'll
right
be like,
there.
I can't. I don't even like to go in Haunted Mansion. I get scared
at
Disney.
Better. This is more 3D. All right, we have to take a quick break. Stick around. It's Bill Effen and Tony Snyder on WGN.
The Zombies. I am going
the
to
zombies.
See them at the Arcata Theater on Sunday night. Michael Mack turned 17. That's what he wanted as one of his presents.
So just for people keeping score, you're not afraid of those zombies,
oh,
but you are afraid of the zombies in Rosemont.
You guys are such a joy to work with. Between Kevin's song ideas and your quick wit.
Oh.
I'm the luckiest girl.
The luckiest girl in the land.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Sure you are. For people who are not here in the studio, you weren't privy to this, but I sure was. You debating back and forth whether or not you should go to this thing in Rosemont to see these Walking Dead people coming at you. You keep saying, I'm so scared. I'm afraid of this. I don't like this sort of thing. But you know it's people in makeup, right? You know that. They don't get actual zombies.
I know. Because
of the union. Because of unions. Unions won't allow that. Norma Ray, dead Norma Ray.
I know, but it's like a haunted house. You know that's fake too, but it's still. I don't like people groping at me unless I've asked for it.
They're not allowed to.
But they can reach for you. I don't even want that.
They can reach for you, but they cannot touch you.
I know, that's what I was a little confused
they
about.
They can't. It's illegal. They can't do that anymore. There was a time when we were kids, you go to a haunted house.
Totally.
Yeah, you were getting a lot of action.
I'm telling you, there was a gorilla at a haunted house, which I don't even know why there was a gorilla in there. But that gorilla got some good grabs on all
sure.
of my girlfriends.
Yep. I know. I read the gorilla's book.
A lot. I mean,
I know.
He got some upper grabs.
But there have been so many lawsuits over the years.
As there should be.
As there definitely should be. You can't go to a place like that and just get touched up by a gorilla or a zombie. You can't have that.
I like my zombies on the television screen and not next to me.
Not coming after you in real life?
I don't know. It's like half of me. I am such a wuss. As I get older, seriously, I wasn't like this as a kid. I would try anything once.
Here's what always baffled me. There were a couple of haunted houses when I was growing up that they would have every year, of course, around Halloween. And the one that was the biggest one, all my friends were just petrified of, but it was in Amling's Flower World.
Oh, I went to that one. That's where the gorilla groped me.
But I'd always think to myself, so in your head, this is an Amling's Flower World that isn't haunted for 11 and a half months out of the year, but
that
toward the end
night,
of October, then it gets really scary.
Well, I guess you're smarter than the rest of us.
No, I'm not trying to be smarter, but in my head, it's like, I know these are just local actors dressed up like zombies coming at me, and they can't touch me, so why would I be afraid of that?
You're the one that didn't enjoy The Martian because there was the boomerang theory that you didn't think could happen.
I didn't think that
and
could
Lucianne
happen.
Wachowicz,
I know.
Our friend from the Adler, said it can happen.
I know.
Can't you ever lose yourself? I'm way more stressed and tense than you are, and yet in something like that, I can totally lose myself in the experience.
Remember how I told you a little over a month ago that I was at a friend's play, Mark Roberts' play here in town, and it hit me that nearly everything that entertains us, whether it's a TV show or a movie or a book or a street performer, whatever it is, the only way it can work is if you're suspending belief.
But every you can't.
Book, no, but I...
That's what you were thinking about during the play.
Yeah, I guess I was.
I mean it.
I guess I was. But every time you're sitting in a movie theater watching whatever movie you're watching, it only works if you're willing to give in and not go, well, those are just actors dressed like robots.
Yeah, but you don't really... give in because you come back and say, I don't like, and we'll talk to Dean about that, because there are various things you come back and go, yeah, you know, I'm not buying this part of it. You have to just lose yourself into it.
Yeah, I guess.
And you are a critical thinker.
Well, for something, if I guess that's one of the keys to something really being good or not, is if you do lose yourself in it and forget that all that's, you know.
Most of us do that for almost
I
every
know,
movie.
And I usually do it, but for some reason, sometimes something will just take me out of it. I don't know what it is.
Poor Mark Roberts, you're in the middle of this play going, it's amazing how I'm just buying into this right now.
It did hit me at about the halfway mark that I... The guy that he was on stage, I'm like, well, I know that guy in real life. That guy's nothing like that. Like, it just hit me in the middle of it. And then I went.
Because you lost your focus.
I guess I did. But then it came back, and then I enjoyed it more.
But you're very analytical.
I am.
You really are.
I am.
I mean, I know they go creative, analytical. You're both.
Yeah.
And, you know, just talking to you off the air about certain things, you're like, you know that's not real. I know, Bill. Thanks for being so literal.
But it would be funny to watch you screaming at, you know, and then I'd have to go, that's just a 20-year-old guy from Glen Ellen. He's not a zombie. That's just a guy who works, you know, he's an accountant during the day. He's not going to really eat you.
And then I would slap you and go, I don't care. He's still scaring me.
All right.
You have to. I can't do it. You've just talked me out of it.
You don't have to go. All right. We'll take a quick break. Kim has the news and then more show, including Dean Richards to explain to me how movies are made.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with that. You got about 5 hours.
I don't get it. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean, Bill.
He's Dean Richards, and this is the time of year, May, that we honor Dean Richards every day somewhere in the city of Chicago. They hold a ceremony, and Dean accepts an award.
I don't want to brag. I was just announced Miss Polish Chicago.
Did you win that?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm going to be in the parade. I'm wearing I have a suit made out of kielbasa.
Oh, that's hot. That's hot.
It is hot. It is going to be hot.
Wow. Good for you.
And you're going to have all the dogs chasing you, biting at your skirt.
Well, okay.
Whatever. Whatever. The Silver Circle Awards. Yeah. Some people call them the Silver Surfer
you
Awards.
You do, and you mess me
and
up
I'm,
every
I'm
time.
That guy.
Yeah, thanks for showing up, by the way.
I am not allowed into that.
I believe you were invited.
I was invited, but they won't let me in. They invite me, but they don't let me in. But Wendy and everybody who was there said that of all the speeches, yours was the most memorable and poignant, Dean.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yep. Yep.
It was nice. It was a really nice night. It was, I'm you know honored. I was inducted. This is the Chicago TV Academy's kind of Hall of Fame. They call it Silver Circle, and Marianne Childers and Jay Levine and P.J. Hoff from back in the day,
mm-hmm.
Weatherman Len O'Connor, Tim Weigel honored posthumously. Actually, they had me listed.
Posthumously?
In the program book.
Oh, that's
no. Right.
They had me listed as being inducted posthumously.
Oh, that's so sad.
So apparently I passed away.
Oh.
Yet still gave a pretty damn good speech.
You sure did. My son Dylan saw the little program and he said, oh my God, this is like an Academy Award program.
Yeah.
I said, it was the Academy Awards here in Chicago.
No, yeah. I don't know about that, but it was it's a very, very nice honor. And
another one tomorrow.
Yeah, the Walk of Fame is tomorrow. It looks like I'm going to be hit by lightning.
No.
You'll be fine.
I just saw the weather.
We scheduled the lightning during Max Armstrong's segment.
Oh, well, that's okay.
You're fine.
That's all right.
Those are metal plaques, so don't stand on your plaque right? during the storm.
Exactly. So that's tomorrow, and you'll be able to hear that the whole ceremony with me and Max Armstrong and Tom Peterson and Dan Fabian, as Bob Collins used to call him, the memo fairy. he's going to be inducted, and Marilyn Miller, Wally Phillips, old producer, JC, Jim Carrillo, our former chief engineer. So I'm proud to be among these legends at WGN as well.
And WGN TV is going to be out there in the morning, correct?
Yeah, we're going to, Ana Balaval and I are going to be out in Pioneer, what's it called?
Pioneer
Plaza.
Court.
I like that you were
Pioneer Court.
How do you say your name, Bill?
Bill Leffa is butchering your name again.
I can't help myself.
Anna's taking her earrings off.
I'm sorry. For what
reason? Don't make her take her earrings off.
It's just
off.
A thing women do, Wendy, when they're mad. They take
I
their earrings
this.
Off.
No, you take your rings off so when she punches you.
No, she's Anna, taking her rings off me. Because she's going to mess you up.
I'm
that's
all right.
Why she's taking
Who
her
are
earrings.
We talking about?
Anna Balaval. Stop it.
It is the funniest thing he does, and he's pretty funny.
That's how you say your name.
Bill what? Bill Leaf.
That's not nice. Now that's a low blow.
That's not nice.
Bill took his belt off.
I took my belt off and my pants fell down.
His nose ring out.
Dean, before we talk about the new movies, because there's some big new movies opening this weekend, help Wendy and I. We were settling a debate the other day. There's talk, you know, it looks like that we might have a new James Bond. They might not have Daniel Craig back as James Bond.
I almost called in, but I feel like I've been calling into your show.
You can call in anytime you want.
Yeah, I feel weird. I just, you know, no, when you're talking about something.
Open invite, anytime.
Yeah, I feel weird doing that. Maybe after I get the Miss Polish Chicago.
Then you can.
Then maybe I'll fair. Feel. Then I mean, I'll feel like, but I heard you guys talking about this, and Tom Hiddleston, who I think would be a fantastic James Bond.
He is a good actor.
I think he's a great actor. I think he's got the suave that we want.
He's got the look.
He's got the look. He's got that little wry sense of humor. I think he can deliver, you know, this sort of, you know, occasional tongue-in-cheek esque.
Tongue in someone else's cheek is how Bond usually does it.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
I think he can deliver all the way around. Maybe a little bit young. I don't know. Might be a tiny bit young. But aside from Idris Elba, I can't think of anybody else who should be James Bond at this time.
So when they throw out a name like Gillian Anderson, what do you make of that?
Well, it's all rumors right now, so you know you can't really take any of this stuff very seriously. But I don't know. How do you feel about Gillian Anderson? I like the Tom Hiddleston rumor that's going around that I may have started, by the way.
Oh,
well,
that's
good.
Fine.
Kudos to you.
Go ahead.
I like the Gillian Anderson idea. We had talked about it. I'm not as into Bond as, say, you guys are, my family is. But, you know, it's a character, but it's someone else can portray it. I don't see what the big deal is.
No, it's a character that's been redefined over and over and over again, you know, over the past few years. You know, for the longest time, I thought that Sean Connery would be the only James Bond that I could ever accept.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was very anti-Daniel Craig in the beginning until I saw the movie. And
that's what most people say.
Yeah, me too.
He completely won me over. So I'm, you know, I don't know if he eclipsed Sean Connery in my book, but I think Sean Connery's still number one. And I think Daniel Craig is probably my number two right now. All the others just kind of seem like filler to me. The Roger Moores.
I liked Roger Moore.
Help me out with some of the names here that I'm forgetting.
Well, Timothy Dalton.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Right.
George Lazenby.
George Lazenby for one outing. Yeah.
Someone has posted something or has texted us and has a great idea who should be the next James Bond.
Who's this?
Great actor. Could really hold down the role. Peter Dinklage.
Seth Rogen. What?
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage.
Would be an interesting
wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. That would be a very interesting choice.
Yeah. He's suave. He could do it.
Yeah. Interesting.
I just don't know how much we want to redefine,
I guess,
the role, I guess.
Dean, so much of that character, aside from getting international bad guys, is being something of a womanizer, and I'm not sure.
A woman could be a manizer, if that's the word. Or loose.
That sounds like too much like mayonnaise. Or
right. Right.
Well.
He'd have a Hellman's logo on the back of his tuxedo. That'd
stop
be weird.
It. Whatever you're about to say.
Don't do it.
But, I mean, a woman can, you know, be a female cad if necessary.
She can be, but maybe not as James Bond, as a separate character.
Yeah, well, they're saying, for Gillian Anderson, they're saying Jane Bond.
Right.
Well, then it's not James Bond anymore.
Yeah, then it's stupid.
Then it's like Superman, Supergirl.
Yep.
You know, it's a...
different character.
A completely different kind of thing.
There's another woman who'd be real good at it.
You know, and it's a local woman, and that's from the WGN-TV Morning News.
She's going to come down there tomorrow. Look, you're going to be out. I think you're going to be outside somewhere
I'm
during the ceremony
tomorrow.
I'm going to
wear a disguise tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
You better have that glasses with the fake mustache on it.
You know, as Annabelle Laval is beating on Bill, what will your last words be?
I'll just keep screaming that.
We don't know if Bill choking in his own blood or trying to say your name.
Right. People go, he might be yelling for help. I can't make it out.
Is he choking? Is he just calling her name?
It's fun, isn't it, Dean? She's going to hit you now, too.
By proxy.
I get it almost every day.
Oh, no. All right, stay where you are. Dean will tell us what new movies are coming out this weekend. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dean Richards is here, and we're talking movies. Dean, a couple of huge releases coming out for the Memorial Day weekend. The first one is the new X-Men movie. What are your thoughts?
Have not seen it yet. Was supposed to go see it last night during the torrential rainstorm last night. I got about halfway there, and they called me and told me that they had some problem. There's some digital delivery problem, something where...
Oh.
Where I was supposed to see it, so got postponed. I'm going to see it tonight. So I'll tell you that it's not getting the greatest reviews in the world nationally right now. A lot of people feel like, you know, was there a reason really to go back to this again?
Yeah,
we had the original X-Men movies with Patrick Stewart and Ian McGregor and Hugh Jackman, and you know, a lot of the originals, and then they went back for prequels. You know, younger versions of all these characters with Michael Fassbender and Oscar Isaac and Jennifer Lawrence, among others. And this one, I'll know better tomorrow. I'll have my full review on this tomorrow and let you know what I think of it. But, man, the reviews overall on this are really disappointing. I think part of that is because good luck being the superhero movie to come out after Captain America.
Sure.
Civil War, because that was about as perfect as they come.
Yeah.
In all shapes and sizes. So, you know, this one unfortunately has that to deal with right now. So I'll know a little bit more about that tomorrow.
Isn't it funny you say that the reviews nationally have not been great, and they haven't. I've seen a bunch of them. They're not very good. However, if you watch the ad for the X-Men movie, at the end of the ad, they're flashing you all these incredibly favorable reviews.
It looks really good. The trailer looks really good enough to make me want to go see it.
You know, when you look at those reviews, you know, those commercials and those incredible statements that you see, if that quote is up on the screen for more than a second, see if you recognize any of the names that are on them.
Right.
Because they are... you know, I hang around in these circles with the people who, you know, get to see these movies ahead of time. I don't even know who some of these people are.
Right.
I have no idea where they're digging these people up who are saying that it's, you know, the greatest movie in the world. So maybe they're very credible. Maybe it is the greatest movie in the world. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but
I'm just saying,
look for the names. When you see those, look for the names also.
This is the greatest movie of the summer, wall-to-wall action. Gary. You go, Gary liked it.
Right.
I'm glad Gary enjoyed it.
Gary
I hope
liked
he
it.
Is.
It's a publication no one has ever heard of.
Right. Isn't
ever.
That something?
Or, yeah. So.
All right. So let us know what you think when you see it. But as you mentioned,
each of you
please call us all. And then the other one is another Disney film, and that's Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Oh, and poor Johnny Depp.
Uh-oh.
With the sad news that...
Splitsville.
We reported today that he and... Who could have seen this coming? Johnny Depp.
And Amber Heard?
22 years older than Amber Heard. They got married just 15 months ago. It just seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
They haven't even cashed the check that I sent them as a wedding gift yet.
Oh, no.
I don't know if I should ask it, you know, ask it, get it back, if that's appropriate now.
No, you can't.
That they've announced that they're splitting up.
Yeah.
Irreconcilable differences is what they say, and that's kind of how I feel about this movie, really. irreconcilable differences with this. I liked the Alice in Wonderland movie that he did a few years ago. This one just doesn't seem like there is any reason to make this movie except for everybody to get dressed up again. Johnny Depp is the Mad Hatter in this film. He is trying to resolve a lifelong crisis that he has regarding his family. Alice turns up to try to help him solve this problem. You've got Anne Hathaway in the film. Again, you've got all the same familiar names in it. It's very colorful. It's very artistic. It's just sort of one of these movies that turns out to be a little too artistic, really, for its own good.
No.
The story's not that interesting. In trying to resolve this family crisis for the Mad Hatter, they have to turn back time. Mia Wasikowska goes back in time with the help of and in spite of the help of the character who plays time himself, Sacha Baron Cohen, who really doesn't bring very much Sacha Baron Cohen to the movie. It's kind of a flat role for him, mm-hmm. from someone who we expect extremes, or I expect extremes. So really the whole thing just seemed very non-dimensional and kind of flat, despite beautiful artwork and very colorful and imaginative artwork. There really just wasn't much of a point to it all.
It's too bad, because when you see the clips, it is so visually stunning. The way they just seamlessly meld real life with animation, it looks beautiful, but you think to yourself, without a story, where will this go? And it doesn't seem like there is one.
Yeah, that's really what it boils down to. With every movie, really, if there's no story, if there's not something to hang on to other than things that are happening visually, why bother?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt about this one. I was a little bit disappointed in it. I'm giving it a C. I'm giving it a C. I think I'm giving it a C minus, Bill.
C minus.
Oh. I'm giving it a C minus.
How about, what goes on?
Reconsidered on the spot.
Yeah, that's fair. At Disney, it's interesting because now they've been going through this thing the last several years where they take their classic films that have been animated and they make live action versions. And I don't know if it still holds up, but a few weeks ago we were talking about Jungle Book. You said that's your favorite movie of the year. I think it's my favorite movie of the year so far, too.
Yep.
So it's so hit and miss with those reimaginings of their animated films.
Yeah. I don't know why sometimes, it seems like there would be a rich pot of resources there to go to with Alice in Wonderland and all those storybook characters that we all grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
Why they haven't been able to do anything more interesting than this. I am one who once said Johnny Depp could do no wrong.
Right.
For me, because I thought he always brought something so interesting,
mm-hmm.
So much more than just a surface acting performance in his early roles, and really his latest ones, I'm finding it just really hard to watch a Johnny Depp movie anymore. It's his makeup job is very interesting. It's weird. It's psychedelic looking, and all that. But there's nothing underneath it. So I got to say, disappointed in that one.
C-.
C-, I think, for Alice Through the Looking Glass. There's still plenty of decent movies. I mean, if you want R-rated movies, I wasn't crazy about Neighbors 2.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want something that's a little on the irreverent side, Neighbors 2. I didn't give that great of a review to The Nice Guys with Russell Crowe and Ryan yeah. Gosling. I'm hearing that back from a lot of people also, that that they wound up agreeing. The feedback's been kind of interesting on that one. So I thought I was really going to be the lone voice, not especially liking The Nice Guys, but hearing critics seem to have liked it, but normal people that went to see the movie to make up their own mind.
Yeah.
I heard from a lot of people this week saying that they agreed with my opinion.
Not thrilled.
And, for the kids, the number one movie from last weekend is this Angry Birds movie.
Right.
And it's I think it's pleasant enough. I'm not especially a fan of, kids' movies. They're not made for me. But I got to say that I kind of enjoyed that
Kept
one.
Kept you entertained.
So, for holiday weekend viewing, there's... you know, there's plenty. Oh, also, I haven't seen this. This was another one that I was supposed to see yesterday, but I got... you were singing One Bad Apple, Don't Spoil a Whole Bunch Girl.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I went out to the Paramount Theater in Aurora and interviewed Donnie and Marie Osmond.
How'd that
go? How cute was that?
They are adorable.
Sure.
They are just...
Did you take a picture in between the two of the Osmonds?
I should have done that.
Oh. Next time. Ron Osmonds as your bookends.
I did a television interview with him. I didn't take a picture.
Oh, man.
I should have, I guess.
No, you have chances. You'll have plenty of chances. Dean,
they're there till Sunday. But anyway, what was my point? I went out there, so I didn't get to see a documentary that I wanted to see yesterday afternoon called Wiener, the documentary about Anthony Wiener that I hear is super interesting.
Really?
So plenty of choices.
All right.
You're looking for something to do for the holiday weekend, come to the Walk of Fame ceremony tomorrow and then go watch Wiener.
That's a full weekend.
And then cook some wieners on the grill.
It all ties in. Dean, we'll see you tomorrow. We're looking forward to it.
I'll be there.
Thanks, Dean. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You're looking very pleased with yourself today.
I'm feeling very pleased. I just found an inside track on buying a new car.
Are we sharing, or is this a state secret?
The secret to buying a new car is to buy more car for less money.
More car for less money? Care to elaborate?
You lease the car and only pay for what you use. It frees your mind, not to mention your wallet. You can lower your monthly payment big time, and that means a lot more car for a lot less money.
Does this have anything to do with Illinois cutting the sales tax on leased vehicles?
You're very well informed. That Illinois tax cut can save new lessees.
Huge water supply. Bedford Park has all the services that your business needs, provided by a service-friendly village staff that will get you all the answers you need. There are many successful companies in Bedford Park, like Ingredient and Latham Hickey Steel. Let yours be one, too. For a list of their available properties and incentives, call Marilyn at 708-496-0346. That's 708-496-0346. Or visit villageofbedfordpark.com. You heard the tone. That means it's 1 o'clock, time for a check of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. The news is sponsored by Penny Mustard Furnishings. Here's Kim Gordon.
Cloudy and 75 at O'Hare. The countdown is on to finalize a budget deal, and Governor Rauner remains optimistic against all odds. WGN's Judy Pilak has more.
Right now, the odds are not in Rauner's favor. House Speaker Mike Madigan is pushing a budget that doesn't have any of the governor's wish list reforms. And Madigan has even gone so far as to say the legislative working groups don't seem to be buying those reform ideas.
The speaker's own rank and file Democratic caucus members sort of disputed his characterization of the working groups yesterday.
The House passed the budget 63-53. It faces a veto if it gets to the governor's desk. Judy Pilak, WGN News.
Fix the formula, that chant from thousands of parents, students, and teachers rallying in Springfield for more state dollars for their districts this afternoon. Chicago public schools face a $1 billion deficit next school year. The Navy says it was two fighter jets that collided off the coast of North Carolina this morning. Four pilots were plucked off a commercial fishing boat that pulled them out of the water. No word yet on their conditions. New York City police are violating homeless people's rights by ordering them to move along in public places. That from the New York Civil Liberties Union after they filed a complaint with the city's Human Rights Commission calling police actions bias-based profiling. It's down to the final spellers in the Scripps National Spelling Bee. The final kicks off this afternoon. Among those finalists, Betty Kloss, a seventh grader from North Carolina.
Boots. W-O-O-T-Z. Boots.
That is correct.
And in case you were wondering, Woots is a type of steel. Defense lawyers for former Bolingbrook Police Sergeant Drew Peterson begin their case soon in his murder-for-hire trial. Randolph County Prosecutor Jeremy Walker is expected to make his closing arguments today.
The judge has already found that the recording quality was enough and sufficient enough that they could come in as evidence, and it'll be up for the jury to decide what they have heard or have not heard.
Peterson's accused of trying to hire someone to kill Will County Prosecutor James Glasgow. It wasn't the greeting McDonald's shareholders were hoping for as they made their way into their annual meeting. Thousands pushing for a $15 minimum wage rallied for the past 2 days in front of the Oak Brook headquarters. Tyree Johnson of Chicago is a 24-year employee of McDonald's. He says despite the company's boost in pay to $1 over the minimum wage last year.
Not enough. $15 is what we're fighting for and union rights. $10, anything less than $15 is uncivilized.
Despite stormy weather, the rallies went on as planned. Your Money, Sports, Traffic and Weather next on WGN.
I just like this song too much.
I do too.
I enjoy this song a lot. We'll just play a little bit more.
Who is this again? Oh, the Raconteurs.
The Raconteurs.
Oui, oui. Je m'appelle Wendy.
Are they French? Are the Raconteurs French?
The word is.
Yeah, the word is French. It's Bill and Wendy. Hi. It's our second show of the day. We did one already. We got one in the books. This is the second one. We're at 312. The book of shows. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You can call us there or you can text us there. Yesterday we got word, and it's been in the news a little bit since, that a guy who's something of a Chicago mainstay, a guy that if you walk around the city of Chicago, if you work in Chicago, if you spend any time here in the downtown area, you have seen this guy. It's the strangest thing. He's famous for just kind of walking around. Is that fair to... He's the walking guy.
Now,
walking man.
I got to ask some questions because I'm not as familiar with this guy as you are. I mean, I know him. I know who he is.
Oh, wait. Let me finish the rest of the sentence. He's been beaten badly. The walking man has been beaten badly, we found out. Now, you and I see him on an almost daily basis. He walks by our studio at least once a day, sometimes more often than once a day. And we've been seeing him for years. I think I've been seeing this guy for roughly 15 to 20 years.
Well, I've worked downtown for almost 30 years, and when I worked over at the Hancock Building, he didn't walk around there.
That was not his route, although he has, from time to time, switched his route up. And he's very mysterious. Nobody knew exactly where he was heading or what his name was, what his whole storyline was, his backstory. There has been a documentary about him. There has been a song about him. And he's one of those guys that if you're talking to somebody, like, it's weird. I always wonder how many people do we see every day and just not realize it. But this guy always kind of stood out. So he was very memorable. You would notice him. He had a very European look about him. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
A retro look.
He was dressed nicely in usually a suit. Although when we saw him last, he had like a tank top
on Tuesday.
And I'm trying to find his GoFundMe page because his nephew or cousin.
His nephew is setting one up.
It's up. They're asking for. There's the whole story about the Walking Man too, and it's been updated because his nephew. They're searching for $50,000, and now I'm seeing a couple.
A few nephews.
Yeah, all right, a couple GoFundMe pages, but they're asking for Vitus Vaitkus is the nephew of the Walking Man, and his name is Joseph Cromulus.
Yeah, which I don't think, in all the times I've ever read about this guy or heard about this guy, I don't think his name was ever mentioned. But if you said to somebody, you know the walking guy, everybody goes, yeah, I've seen that guy. But I don't think until yesterday or today, I know I had never seen his name. I don't know if it was ever mentioned in any stories about him.
And he's got like a chin-length bob haircut. It's chin-length hair, kind of short on top and long. It's gray now. Was it dark before?
It was jet black
was
for
it
years.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
And he's
really
got a really thick Coach Q mustache.
Yeah, right.
And that's what he does. He walks. I didn't know much about him. Now, somebody told me that he used to hang out in front of the Channel 7 news cameras. Is that the same guy?
No, there's a guy named Vincent who I saw him last night for Ron Major's last show.
Oh.
Nearly every night, Vincent, who has some sort of visual issues, he has some eye issues, he's got grayish hair, and he wears extremely loud suits, like fluorescent colored suits.
So this is not the walking
man.
That's
a different man.
All right.
Vincent's a different guy.
The walking dude slash man is my uncle. This is according to the GoFundMe page of Vitus Vaitkus, and I'm probably saying it wrong. He's been walking and pedaling on the streets of Chicago for at least the last 40 years. The streets are his home, the place he has always felt at home until yesterday, which is now 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. He was brutally attacked with a baseball bat and his eyes almost gouged out. It is not sure if he will regain use of his eyes. He really has no other life than peddling and walking the streets. This is all he has known for a long time. His brothers and sister, my mom, have already passed. He still has one sister in Alaska that I still need to contact. help with what you can, help save an icon of the Chicago streets, help giving someone a chance at surviving after being brutally attacked. I'm sure the guy has no insurance. He doesn't really talk to his family. His sister-in-law was quoted in one of the articles after her husband died, which is the walking man's brother. Mm-hmm. The walking man went to a payphone and called her to express his condolences. Mm-hmm. And I think she's out in Michigan or something. But he was living in a center for 30 years, and that center was torn down to make condos. So I don't know where he's been living for the last several years.
Whenever I would see him, and I know we talked about this earlier in the week about how sometimes you'll see somebody and you have the propensity to create a backstory. I never imagined him to be homeless for a couple reasons. Reason number one is he's always not impeccably dressed, but well-dressed, right? He's usually wearing a suit of some sort, except on Tuesday when we saw him and he had a tank top. Because I even said to you, that's not the walking guy's normal mode of dress. He was just wearing a tank top and some casual pants. But usually it's a suit. And the other thing that never made me think that he was homeless is he always seemed like he needed to be someplace. Like he was here now, but if he doesn't hurry, he's going to miss something, some meeting of some sort. So whenever you would see him, he seemed to be in a hurry.
I've learned more about him since his brutal attack just because I've heard Richard Roper has done several stories on him and tried to talk to him and he won't talk.
Right.
Which is odd to me because allegedly the reason he was attacked or what led to the attack is he was on Lower Wacker. He saw someone and said hi and the guy attacked him. Now, doesn't that seem out of character for him to just initiate a conversation?
I've never seen in all the... I would say I've seen him, seriously, it seems like I'm exaggerating. I've seen him over 500 times
have
over the years.
Really?
Yeah.
Like face-to-face on the street or just walking by? Do you say hi to him?
I will quickly go, how's it going, like
but
that,
he doesn't
and there's
answer?
Never a response. You know, he's always in a hurry. But I've never seen him come close. I've seen people try to talk to him, and he hurries off. I've never seen him initiate a conversation.
See, that's what shocks me a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, his nephew has an update, because I know last night he was going to try and see his uncle at the hospital. Here's an update. I was denied the right to visit my uncle, Joseph Kromelis, at the hospital. He was not even listed as a patient. His identity is being protected. It took representatives of this particular hospital over 20 minutes to come and speak with us face to face. When they arrived, their story was that they can neither confirm nor deny that he is there. Joe was there, and I saw him. The nurse intervened and would not allow us to enter or talk to him from outside the room, but I did see him. He was not awake at the time we saw him. He looked severely battered, bruised, and swollen.
No, that's terrible.
So why aren't they letting family members see him?
I'm not sure if the hospital makes that decision, or if he himself says, I don't want anyone in, family or otherwise.
I'm sure if he is not in good shape, why would he say that?
I don't know. He's incredibly private. I would hope that under a circumstance like this, he'd let the wall down a little bit, but he just seems so incredibly private. I've seen so many people try to converse with him, and he just doesn't want any part of it.
I could get him to talk. I can get anyone
to
talk.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Darn it, I wish I would have gone to talk to him.
But don't you wonder, like, at some point you made the realization, you go, oh, that guy, I've seen that guy so many times before. Don't you wonder, like, just during the course of a year or a couple of years, how many years have you been working downtown? There's probably other people like that you see all the time. It just doesn't register. He stands out so much. His look is just so different that you can't help but notice him.
Yeah, I bet there are a lot of people like that. And misdemeanor charges have been filed in the beating of Joseph Kromelis, a fixture on downtown Chicago streets. This is just 4 hours ago from ChicagoTribune.com. He's known to many as the walking man. 41-year-old Perry McCarlton was charged with reckless conduct, even though Kromelis was reluctant to press charges.
Wow.
Good God. Kromelis told police he was on Lower Wacker around 11 a.m. on Tuesday, said hi to someone he passed, and the man began punching him and hitting him with a baseball bat, according to police. Now, see what I mean? That just, first of all, he doesn't typically talk, let alone initiate a conversation. And why is saying hi offensive?
Well, doesn't that seem kind of hinky to you that he would have said hi to someone?
It seems out of character of him. Yeah. And are we to assume that this guy who did beat on him, that he is a homeless guy, or is that Am I reading too much into that?
I've heard those reports. A central district sergeant responding to a battery call saw McCarlton straddled over Cromulus, struggling with the bat, according to a police report. A witness told the sergeant the suspect also tried to throw Cromulus over a railing to the pavement about 20 feet below, not into the river as previously reported yesterday.
Right.
He was taken by ambulance to Northwestern Memorial Hospital to be treated for several injuries, including severe cuts to both eyes. He also suffered leg injuries from where he was hit with the bat. He was listed in fair condition, so he is going to make it. Police said McCarlton was also taken to Northwestern for observation before being transferred to the Central District lockup. Police said today it remains unclear what sparked the attack. Officers encountered McCarlton last year as he sat on upper whacker, wrapped in clothing, but he declined assistance. So it appears...
That sounds like another homeless guy.
And then Cromulus's nephew, Vitus Vaitkus, who we mentioned, has created a GoFundMe page to raise $50,000 for his uncle. As of 8:30 today, 11,500 had been reached, and I think now it's up to 17,000 from this morning.
Better.
So, yeah, just you can go to GoFundMe and search Chicago Walking Dude / Man Medical Fund if you want to donate.
He's been, like I said, a documentary, a song. You know, people see him, and he's so much a part of the structure of the city. You just go, that guy again. I've seen that guy so many times.
You know, I had heard of him, and until I started working here with you where we look out on Michigan Avenue, and you said, hey, that's the Walking Man. I'm like, that's the Walking Man?
It's like a human version of Where's Waldo. Like if you're downtown and you see this giant span of people, look closely because he's always in that group somewhere. He's just everywhere.
You know what's wild is how the name became universal too.
The Walking Man?
Right.
The Walking Guy, yeah.
I mean, he doesn't talk to anyone. He doesn't tell anyone how we all know him as the Walking
Man. He's never in one place. He's just always, I said earlier, Steve, how he always seemed to be in a hurry to be at a meeting of some sort, or I gotta go. I can't just be standing here. I have to be somewhere.
And I was reading that his parents owned a bar in the city in the 30s or 40s or 50s. I'm sorry, my mileage may vary. I just read it. And that bar closed down because there were reports he was a bartender at some bar downtown. He was not.
That's just a rumor.
Yeah, his parents closed the bar, moved to Michigan, they passed away, and he just remained here living in that housing complex for 30 years, and then they raised that and put up some condos. So I want to know, where has he been staying?
Yeah.
And my husband has worked downtown for many years, being in radio as well, and when I said, you know the Walking Man? He goes, of course I know the Walking Man. I'm like, you do? I said he was really badly beaten yesterday, and it's shocking.
It is. It definitely is.
I mean, he didn't do anything except say hi.
That's it.
Which still seems suspect to me.
Completely out of his character.
You know?
Right.
Okay, so I said that, and what do you mean by that? You mean that
we've said that before you walked to your seat. It's just he's not known for talking.
I know, but do you think that means that the story isn't true?
I don't know. He's not pressing charges on this person either. But I'm not, you know, all the quotes of people, business owners who've seen him over the course of the years have said he's never been irate or angry.
Right.
I mean, I don't think he instigated it. I don't know. I mean, it just seems confusing to me because this is the Walking Man's story saying, I just said hi to him and he attacked me.
Yeah. Steve, I said earlier before you came in all the times I've seen him, I estimated it at 500, it's that many times, I've never seen him come close to initiating a conversation.
No, or responding. He doesn't.
No, he just doesn't.
So to initiate it is just
That's why it seems
shocking.
Unlikely that it happened.
At the last station that I worked at WLS, we were talking about him on the air one day, and I hadn't seen him in a while. And then 2 days later, after we were talking about him, I saw him, and I approached him to say, hey, I don't know, you probably don't do a lot of interviews, but would you consider doing one? Could you come up and just kind of clear up some of the myths? And as soon as I approached, he saw me coming at him, and it was a quick off into the other direction.
So he didn't even say a word to you?
Nothing, zero.
So he looks like Sam Elliott. Did you say
that?
He looks a lot
like
Sam
Elliott. Right. You're absolutely right. Ron had a different... You thought he looked like someone else, Ron.
Yeah, there's a picture here in page 21 of the Sun-Times City Beat, and it has the story about him where he lived for the last 30 years until 3 years ago where they turned the area into condos in Lincoln Park.
Right.
This picture's from 205. He actually looks like Jim Croce.
Oh, yeah, a little bit like Jim Croce.
But
kind of
really like Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a more European kind of a flair to him. You know, just the way he's dressed and the way his hair is cut, but somewhere
in
between.
Yeah, they said he's 69 years old. He was either from Lithuania or Germany. And like Wendy said, he did live below a bar on Hosses Street around Wrigleyville.
Poor guy. I mean, really, if it's unprovoked, it just seems there's more to it.
There has to be.
It just seems weird. Ron, thank you very much. Appreciate you calling.
Can we do this? Let's take a break, and then I want to mention one or two other people that fall into that category who were kind of Chicago mainstays that we all saw a lot, but at some point,
like Oprah,
they just vanished.
No one ever saw Oprah.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. All right, we'll come back and discuss. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, listen to this. We were just talking about The Walking Man. It really is a sad story. Joseph Cromulus, you've seen him if you've been downtown. He's here. He's been here for decades. He just walks around. He was beaten in a very, very sad incident on Tuesday.
Seems to be in fair condition right now at Northwestern.
Yeah. But I was saying there's other people in and around Chicago over the years that fit that description of people you just kind of see, but you don't really know their backstory. We talked about Vincent. He's the one who, if you ever watch the 10 o'clock news on Channel 7, he's always outside of the studio in like a canary yellow suit or a lime green suit or a beet red vibrant suit. I've talked to him a couple times. He's a nice enough guy. There was a guy for a while. I don't know if anybody else will remember this but me. But there was a guy who would walk around the city, but he pretended he was in a car. He would walk on the streets and he would hold his hands up as though he were driving a big oversized car, and he would signal if he was turning, and he would honk, like hit a pretend horn if you got in his
How
way.
How cute!
I don't know if it was cute. Like, the first time I saw it, that's what I thought too, is, well, that's something, that's adorable, but then I thought, there's probably something going on mentally that's making him believe that he's in a car when he's not in a car. And
he's
then
not hurting anybody. Who cares?
That's true. That's
was
true.
He running you over?
No. He didn't actually
he
have
signaled.
A car. He did always signal. He was very he followed the rules of the road. But then like you just stopped seeing him and then I didn't know if a guy who thought he was a bus hit him. I didn't know what happened that this guy just stopped happening. But I haven't seen him in years. But I used to see that guy. And sometimes, like, you'd see him on regular streets doing it. But every once in a while, he'd be like a Lakeshore Drive or
what?
Something. You go, that's not a good idea.
I forgot all about that guy.
Do you remember that guy?
I never saw that guy. Maybe they took away his license.
I think he got human jacked.
Any of those are possible. I don't know.
I completely forgot about him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who that guy is.
For years. But, Steve, did you ever see him, like, on a major... him on Lakeshore Drive, and I'd go, I know you think you're a car, but you... Like, at your best, you're only going to walk 6 or 7 miles an hour. You can't keep up with traffic on Lakeshore Drive. So, I don't know where he ended up.
In which we live, and good luck to everyone.
Yeah. All right, a quick break, and then the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I
said, oh, we're going Italian version on this. I know the English version.
No, this is better.
Is this you singing?
This is me singing. I did this before the show.
Funiculi, funicula, hearken, hearken, music sounds afar. I know the English translation.
Beautiful.
In the studio with us right now is a gelato artisan, if you know there's such a thing. Her name is Silvia Bertolazzi. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
And Seth Chandler.
No.
I know how to say that.
Seth Chandler.
Seth Chandler. Put an A at the end of it.
It's right.
You are the publicist for the Gelato World Tour, which surprises me. There is a Gelato World Tour, and it's going on this weekend.
And even more surprising should be that the publicist is from Tennessee. So
oh, how about
like
that?
Do they have gelato in Tennessee?
I make gelato every week. And in my office at the ad agency.
Wow.
Google cluster flavored gelato, correct?
Yes, any kind you want. Google, you know Goo Goo's.
Yeah, sure.
That's a
absolutely
good thing. Several good things.
All right, now Sylvia, I have a confession to make to you. My grandpa was born in Venice, a little town outside of Venice.
Yes.
I'm half Italian. I have never had gelato.
Oh my God!
Scandalous. Agreed.
It's
terrible.
You have to start eating gelato because your world will change. Your life will change.
All right. Well, here's the question. Gelato was not something that was here all along. It very recently came to America. When was that?
It's been here for a while,
well,
but
I know,
not
it's
in
not...
any mass. Here's a statistic for you, if you like statistics. 39,000 gelaterias, artisan gelaterias. Artisan meaning they make it fresh every morning. That's why it's so good. They make it fresh every morning. They serve it, and if it's left over, they do something different with it. They don't serve it the next day, usually. So it's artisan gelateria. 39,000 of them in Italy. 900 in the U.S.
That's not
See
enough.
What I mean?
Not enough. And we consume over 50% of all the frozen desserts in the world.
Here in the United States, we
yes.
do. Then we need more gelato.
Yes.
That's and bigger belts.
And much bigger belts.
No. No, if you eat gelato, you can have a smaller belt.
That's true.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's much better for you.
It's far better for you. But explain the difference for people who go, well, it's just ice cream, right?
No, it's not just ice cream. Absolutely not. And it's not just a different translation. Gelato is... It's so much different than ice cream because, yes, first of all, it's better for you. It's healthier. So it has much, much, much less fat than ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And also when you eat it, I mean, and I don't want to go too much into the technical things, but there's something called overrun, which means the air. It has less air. So when you eat gelato, it's so dense. I mean, the flavor really, when you eat it, it's not so cold, too, where your mouth will freeze. You can totally taste the flavors, and it's really going to change your life, seriously.
And you are a gelato artisan. You have your own gelateria.
Yes.
Gelateria.
I have my own gelateria in America. I'm from Italy originally, but I have my own shop in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I'm here in Chicago for the Gelato World Tour.
How did the people of Louisiana, because it's new to everybody in the United States, or
yes.
becoming more prevalent, but new for a while, how did the people of Louisiana taking to this?
Well, it was the first time I opened my shop 5 years ago, and it was the first time for them being exposed to gelato. And, of course, everybody was very curious, and they loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it, and now I don't have a lot of people coming in and even asking me what it is because I've educated them.
Yeah.
And I even joke with them because they come in and they say ice cream. I say, well, it's not ice cream, it's gelato.
Yeah.
Well, they say it two times. After the third time, they go in the corner.
Oh, they have to stand in the corner.
Yes. They cannot be allowed to say ice cream because it's gelato.
No gelato for you.
Right.
No
All right. gelato for That's you. Fair.
All right. Now, why did you open up a gelateria?
Because I love gelato. It's my passion. And I grew up in Italy. So I've lived in Italy for about 20 years. And, of course, we eat it there all the time. It's not a luxury. It's just it's a way of life. We eat it even a few times a day. And so I came to America. And
Are you moving to Italy,
by the way, though? Buying, as we speak, I'm online buying a ticket to Italy to live there.
But when I moved to America, it was not in my town. And so the only time I had gelato was once a year when I would take the plane and go home and see my family. And at one point I said, I cannot live without gelato and I just have to open my own shop so I can eat it every day. I can make it and I can eat it.
And there's no element that would be more prevalent in Italy that we don't have in the United States. Everything that they have there to make it, we have here,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, right. Yes.
But there has to be a difference. Now, I know like custard has egg, like frozen custard has egg in it. That differentiates it from ice cream. What's in gelato? Just the way it's made?
It's mainly made with milk, and that's why the fat is less, because with ice cream, you have more cream. Gelato is mainly milk, so the fat content is much less than that. And then it's fresh. It's fresh ingredients. I mean, you can buy fresh fruit, make it, like Seth was saying, that same day. You can put anything you want in there. But the main thing, it's fresh, beautiful ingredients.
Right.
And it's made with passion and love.
Yeah.
You make it in small batches, so you don't have a whole bunch of stuff left over frozen.
Right.
And when it's gone, it's gone.
When it's gone, it's gone. And people can really taste that freshness and the health of it.
I'm noticing now in grocery stores, in your chain grocery stores, in the ice cream section, there's always now a couple of slots for gelato. Are you guys on board with that? Is it as good? It can't be, can it?
It is not. It's good. I have an analogy for that, but I can't say it on the radio, but it's really, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
They have
not
potty mouths in Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, sorry.
But you want it freshly made.
You want it
That's
freshly
how
made.
It's the
if it
the best.
Sits in, because in a freezer, even in your home, if you take it home from Sylvia's shop in Lafayette, Louisiana and put it in your freezer, it thaws a little bit and refreezes.
Freezer burn, it crystallizes,
yeah.
It's not
and every
fresh.
Time that happens, that ice crystal gets bigger. Now we're getting really technical.
Yeah.
And the beauty of gelato is the size and shape of that ice crystal. And that's the trick is to make it as small and smooth as possible. And you'll see this in just a few minutes. But also the flavor, it is so amazing because you can taste every note. We had a gelato the other night that had 7 different notes of flavor. Now, if you didn't know that, you'd just woof it down like we do in Tennessee, because it's amazing. But then if the gelato artisan explains to you you'll get this sensation, and then 10 seconds later you'll feel this flavor in your mouth. And you're thinking, no, really? That's not the way it works.
But it works.
It really does. It does. And it's amazing.
I've also noticed really quickly that anytime I've had gelato here in the States, I've not had it in Italy, I've not been there, but in the States, they have found the world's smallest spoons. They give you the smallest spoons you could possibly imagine. Why is that?
They want you to love it and eat it slowly.
Okay. To savor it.
Is that it?
Savor it.
All right.
It's really a small spoon?
It's not just small. You need a microscope to find the spoon. But then, you know, you get a 6-ounce cup. You could eat it for 3 days if you wanted to. So it makes sense.
All right. We're talking to Seth Chandler. He is the publicist for the Gelato World Tour, which is coming to Millennium Park, I believe, tomorrow through Sunday.
That's correct.
This is free to the public?
Yes, it is free to the public.
It's a free cultural event. You're going to learn about gelato from 16 gelato artisan teams. And with us, Silvia Bertolazzi.
Sì, molto bene.
Grazie. Gelato artisan, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to try my first little taste of gelato.
It's
going to
change your life.
To it.
You'll see. It's going on to WGN.
So let's mambo, mambo gelato.
Mambo Gelato. We have Silvia Bertolazzi, a gelato artisan. Am I nailing it now?
Yes, you're
nailing
great.
It.
All right, I'm flowing with it. She is a gelato artisan. And then we have Seth Chandler. Seth Chandler.
Seth, come
Seth
on.
Chandler.
Get it right.
You're the publicist for the Gelato World Tour. Just to let you know, this is a free cultural public event. It's happening this weekend, tomorrow through Sunday, Millennium Park, 201 East Randolph. Free to get in and to be educated, but the gelato is not free, and it's actually a competition, isn't it?
Well, no, there is free gelato. Yeah, you can get free gelato, but if you'd like to vote for the world's best, you're voting ultimately for the world's best gelato flavor, we want an American to win that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are 3 Chicago area gelato artisans that are competing. And so they're from all over, from South America to North America to Central America. They're coming from everywhere. And only 16, and those people have already won in a sort of a competition to get here in the first place.
I've met one of them, by the way. I know the guy from Frost. There's one in Highland Park, so mm-hmm. I've met that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm noticing, of all the contestants, most of them, their names are Italian. There's a lot of Italian representation in this, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, you can go to gelatoworldtour.com, gelatoworldtour.com. We have a flavor in front of us, which is scaring me now because there's something in it that we're supposed to identify. So,
yes.
Bill, would you like to start?
Yeah, I think I know. Now, there's 2 flavors kind of...
Yes.
At odds, working together.
Correct.
Somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Strawberry is one.
That, you're right on the money.
I can tell the strawberry immediately.
And the Italian word for strawberry?
Fragola.
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 Fragola. It sounds like a frog that is a vampire. And the other one, and Sylvia, maybe it's because you're from Louisiana, but I'm going to say gator. It's strawberry gator, isn't it?
No.
Wow.
It's not? Am I wrong?
You missed that one by about 10 miles.
I
am tasting something peppery and almost cinnamony. And strawberry or a little salami.
No. Man, they're making this sound so appetizing, aren't
well,
they?
Well, see, I'm scared to eat it because I don't know what...
The strawberry, I hope you'll
I'm
agree,
tasting
Wendy.
A little banana, though, too.
No,
no
it's
banana.
Not banana.
It's coffee.
Oh, is it strawberry and coffee together? Is
espresso.
That what it is?
Mm-hmm. It's a very strong Italian coffee. Yes.
Now, why is
that
the strawberry so evident, but the coffee takes a little while to get? Why?
Well, part of the trick for a true artisan when they... prepare flavor is to decide this is what I want the person who tastes this to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know how flavors interact and how things happen, for instance, the first flavor that I tasted in Austin was from an artisan from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and he
sausage flavored.
No, it was raspberry beet. And he said to me, you know, I'm from Tennessee. So he's like, all right, first thing you're going to get is that strong raspberry sense. And then 10 seconds later, you're going to taste some earthy feeling in your mouth. And I'm thinking, I'm going to eat gelato. That's a lot of info for me to digest. And I tasted it, and it happened exactly that way.
Is that right?
Exactly that way.
Now, you don't like coffee. Is this bad for you?
You know, it's strange. Because the strawberry is so evident, I'm tasting that. But then in the background is the coffee, which my palate can discern. and ward off. Mm-hmm. But the strawberry is so delicious that that's the bulk of what I'm tasting.
It's all fresh.
Right. Yeah, it is.
What?
Well, you know, when I was competing 2 years ago in Austin at the Gelato World Tour, and my flavor was avocado basil.
Oh, wow.
Mm. It was fantastic, too.
You would think it's a little bit strange,
yeah,
but it's a really, really good flavor, and I won the technical award for that at the
Congrats.
Competition.
Congrats. Look
so
at you. Great. That's very excited. Nice.
All right, there's a second flavor that we're going to guess. Are there any identifying notes? How many are we supposed to be looking for?
Pretty much just one.
I'll tell you what I taste mostly, and it's because chocolate malt is one of my favorite flavors. I'm tasting there's some malt in there. Am I right?
There's tasting no malt?
Well, it's close to malt.
Boy, I don't know why I'm tasting.
You taste like tapioca
like baseball,
pudding.
Right?
I do like
oh,
baseball.
Oh, is there a baseball
it's
glove
leather.
In here?
Is it leather malt?
Oh, damn it. I liked it, too.
Tasting Don Mattingly.
I'll give you a hint. It's sort of an Irish thing mixed with some Italian
potatoes?
Stuff.
What could it be?
You're scaring me.
Guinness.
Is it Guinness flavor?
It's Guinness stout. Beer.
Well, there is some malt in there, right?
Yes. Well, I mean malt, but yeah. Is there malt in beer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot.
Okay, so that's what you're getting. You're getting that. Yeah. Okay. It's Guinness stout.
That's good.
Yeah. Which we wouldn't ever think of. You know, we're bringing this to you, and I'm sorry this is your first experience, but we're bringing it to you with some unusual flavors, some combinations, so that you can see how it works. And if you take your spoon and rub it backwards over that gelato, see how smooth it is?
Yeah, it is.
Ice cream is not like that. If you rub your spoon backwards over ice cream, it kind of balls up a little bit.
Right.
It's not quite. And that's because the ice crystals are bigger,
mm-hmm.
and it's served colder, mm-hmm. which, I mean, it's only about a 5-degree difference, but it makes a huge difference in the taste.
Can I tell you, and I've often said this to you, and you think I'm crazy, I don't really like ice cream. I mean, yes, I'll have a sundae, and I'll have a scoop here and there, but it really bothers my teeth. It's too cold.
Yes.
This is cold, but you're able to enjoy the flavor of it. It's not just cold to be cold. Mm-hmm. You're really tasting a flavor.
That's right.
And it's creamier.
You will fall in love with it.
You've changed my life.
Yep.
Thank you.
You guys said you would, and you did.
Yes, yes.
You followed through.
Stick with us. Believe us.
Oh.
All right. Now, where do we to get all the information to attend this Gelato World Tour? It's in Millennium Park. It's tomorrow through Sunday, 201 East Randolph. You go to gelatoworldtour.com. You can go there for free. You get samples of gelato,
mm-hmm.
and you can help with the voting. And Sylvia Bertolazzi is a gelato artisan. Now, you have your own team that you're on that you're competing? Or are you
I'm actually not competing this year. I'm going to be teaching some classes. So not only do you get to taste gelato, you get to learn a lot about the gelato culture. So you get to learn about classes, about starting your own business. It's just a great event to go to really be exposed to the world of gelato.
Kids, it's a great thing for kids. Kids will actually hands-on learn to make gelato in a bowl the way they made it in the mountains of Sicily.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So you can make it at home? It's not that
Absolutely.
Difficult?
Absolutely. It won't be as good as ours, but you can try.
Well, at least not now, but we may overtake your
seriously.
Business.
Come on. We need help.
Do you need a special machine to make it, or can you make
no,
it just...
You do. There are... If you're going to make it in mass, if you're going to have 10 flavors in your store, 8 flavors in your store, you definitely
need... But just in your home?
Yes, I have it, and I make it every week.
You make it at your house,
office.
Too?
In my office.
Oh, wow.
Yes, absolutely, every week.
You know how we have a Keurig? He's got a gelato maker.
Yeah, right.
Maker.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Great to meet both of you.
Oh,
thank you so
thank
much.
You.
You're going to have a great time this weekend, I promise.
Absolutely.
Thanks for changing my life.
Yeah.
we have to take a quick break. Steve with the news, and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks. I know you're having a crisis, and we will. Before the show is over, we will discuss your crisis, because I know that there's something going on in your life that's not easy, and there's an expert who we're trying to get.
It's first world problems. Come on.
I know, but I know it's still weighing on you.
We started a show with the crisis you had, a fake virus that was on your computer.
On my computer. It's fixed. I'm fine.
Did you ever mention your phone issue this week? Was that something you talked about? Or
which one, Steve?
When you thought it was gone?
Oh, that my! I thought my.
That was hardly an issue.
Well, I just left it at home.
I know, but it struck me later because we were looking for it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
That you use your phone so rarely,
right?
That it was 1 o'clock before you realized you didn't have it with you.
That's true. And I only looked at it because I was supposed to play tennis that night, and I wanted to check in on one of the guys playing to see if he could play or not. Or else I've gone days without using it.
I couldn't have gone 15 minutes without knowing where my phone was.
Really?
I'm with you, Steve. I forgot it one day, and I panicked until I realized it was the best day of my life.
Yeah, isn't it?
It was.
It is.
No one could ask me anything. I don't care. I can't answer you.
Yeah.
And I mean, in case of an extreme emergency, they could have called Kevin or you or something.
Yeah, sure, of course.
But it was so nice. No questions like, you know, what's for dinner?
Yeah, I was.
You know, where's my gym suit?
I was thinking of Bill that night, and I'm like, wow, it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's how he rolls. He's unplugged. I don't even ever call you on the weekend, and I never think to use your landline.
Yeah.
But that's the one you probably use more if you're home.
More times than not, I would say 80% of the time when I'm not here and working and the phone is next to me. When I'm at home, it's just I come home, I put it on the shelf, and it's done. I don't check it. And I know that by today's standards that's not acceptable behavior.
Well,
but I like to be
might be for you
disconnected.
And it is.
I just my life is so much better to not have to worry about texting and calling. I it's just so much better for me.
I would like to unplug when I walk in the door. God love my kids. As soon as I walk in the door, it's not hi mom, it's like mom, what? It's like every time, like, and they're, you know, goofy little questions like, you know.
Where do babies come from?
No, that comes later. But I mean,
no,
just,
I was curious. Where do babies come from?
Oh, I'll tell you off the air.
Right.
I'll demonstrate.
Thanks.
But really, it's like my son, Michael, I can't remember what he asked me, but it's like, mom, as soon as I walked in the door and he goes, I'm sorry. Hello, mom.
Oh,
I'm like, that's better.
It. Good. Much smarter.
So I liked not having my phone that one day, but I do. I know what you say, Steve. I feel really lost.
Really? Well, I think just the way we're programmed now, I'm much more like that with a computer. There have been times where my computer's been down for a few days. And there's so many things that you go, well, I'll check on the computer. Oh, I can't check on the computer.
I don't need a computer anymore since I got an iPhone.
No, I know. I know.
Don't you check things on your phone?
Not much, no.
You know you get internet on that.
I do know. I choose to stay away from it. And I've said to my wife on several occasions, I think I'm just going to stop using it. I don't want it anymore. I'd prefer to not have one. But she always says, what if it's an emergency? What if you're in a car somewhere and you're stranded?
Don't you have I guess you need the phone to connect to the car.
Yeah, you have to have the phone.
Well, just leave it in your car then.
I could. Yeah, I could do that.
You crack me up when I see you using your phone. And I know that's not a rare occurrence for anyone because you see people walking down the street or doing anything and they have that phone connected to their ear.
But you don't see me doing that.
No, but when I do, you make me giggle. Because it's like, look, Bill's using his phone. You make an announcement every time you get a call, which is very rarely.
I know.
You announce to all of us.
Hey, everybody, I'm getting a call on my phone. Right. You guys go, yeah, there's like a billion people on the planet doing the same exact thing.
It's like working with an innocent 8-year-old sometimes.
Thank you. I will take that as a compliment.
Please do.
Thank you so much. There's people calling on this. Yeah, take one or two of these. These are good.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, my wife calls me an antique. I'm only 53, but because I enjoy AM radio and my landline and like to sit outside rather than the air conditioning. But I won't even charge my cell phone sometimes or forget about it until I'm getting ready to go somewhere.
And you get along fine, don't you?
Yeah.
Of course. Yep. Wendy?
I can't be without it. I mean, if it's running down on a charge, I will plug it in while I'm still using it. I have to have it.
I don't need all that information all the time.
But, that's how I feel.
But can I say something? And please, Steve and Bill, please don't take offense to this.
Yeah.
How many responsibilities do you have right now?
In my life?
Yeah.
Two.
Steve, your answer?
No.
Right. Listener,
now,
Steve.
I have my wife, two kids. I'm selling a house and buying a house.
All right, so you need to be contacted. I'm just saying, you know, like, Bill, really, your wife and kids, that's all you care about.
It.
And, you know, they know sometimes you don't even answer the phone.
Right.
But, I mean, I just feel like I have too much going on where I couldn't be without it.
Yeah.
I'd like to just have...
But how did, for centuries, people got along just fine without it? So why does everybody feel now?
I got 1,700 emails I still got to go up and clear off.
Wendy, you know what that feels like.
Yeah, I got 68,000
emails.
All right, Steve, thank you for calling. Have a great weekend almost.
The other night, I took Reese to dinner, and at another table, we were eating outside, and at another table, our two girls, I'd say around 20 years old, right? One of them is on a FaceTime. Is that considered a call if you're on FaceTime? A FaceTime call, is that right?
Yeah, they were viewing someone, like a video call.
She's got it set up on her side of the table. It's on the table, but it's set up so that she's having a conversation with that girl all through the meal as the other girl just sat there.
Oh, well, that's not polite.
That's the rudest thing I've ever seen in my life, right? There wasn't a single word between the two girls that were there together having dinner. Instead, one girl just talked to the other girl on FaceTime through the entire meal. And I thought, what has this society become? She's with a friend or at least an acquaintance.
Maybe a sister.
Could be a sister. I don't know. But there was not a single word between them for 45 minutes. But she talked to this girl on her phone for 45 minutes.
I don't know if you've seen the light bulb go off over my head, but you know how when I see people eating alone, especially a man, I feel terribly sorry for them and create this sad backstory.
Right.
How great of an idea is it to FaceTime someone?
So no one's ever alone.
Yeah. So you're having dinner at a restaurant, you FaceTime somebody,
right.
And you know, you catch up while you're eating. It's like they're sitting right there across the table.
I agree with you, except in a case like this where this other girl was getting the shortest end of the stick, where she's just
I would have left.
There for the sake of being there.
I would have left, or I would have taken that phone and slammed it down on the floor. Screen broken yet? Can you hear me now? Can you see me now?
Broken FaceTime.
Matthew wants to jump in. Hey, Matt, what's going on, Matthew?
Hi there. Bill, you're the man.
Oh, thank you. That's
nice
of you.
I'm telling you why, because you rule your phone doesn't rule you. And I'm telling you, after working for Cellular One years ago, U.S. Cellular, satellite phone company, et cetera, et cetera, I'm just like, I don't even pick up my phone unless I absolutely have to, and it drives my 17-year-old son crazy. He's like, Dad, don't you want to talk to your friends right now, right this second? I'm like, well, it can wait.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel bad saying this, but the only time I'm mad my husband doesn't have his phone is when he's heading over to the grocery store and I thought of one more item I need.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse in the world for a wife who is ringing the phone to call their husband to say, oh, by the way, can you get some limes? And you hear the phone ringing in the other room because he didn't take it.
Sure. But you don't feel like you're missing.
That's called selective cell phone listening.
Are you missing out on anything, Matthew? Do you feel like your life is any less significant?
No,
you
don't,
right?
Not at all. I feel good about it because I control it. It doesn't control me. And I see how my son responds to his phone constantly, and I'm like, doesn't that drive you crazy?
Yes.
I mean, he's got friends, you know. His phone's going ding, ding, ding constantly. And I'm like, shut it off already.
I know. I know. The constant.
It's like, just talk to him. Go see your friends and talk to
him. It's so much better that way.
Well, sometimes
you
can't physically get there.
They have all this means of communicating on this phone, and yet none of them seem to know doodly squat about what's going on.
When's the grandpa convention that you two are attending together?
We're going. Matthew and I are going to the grandpa convention.
Convention.
We're sitting in the doodly squat section, too, so be ready.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thanks,
appreciate
Matthew.
It. Quick break, more phone calls on this.
No, I'm not using the phone.
All right, then. We can leave early.
People, if you want to tell us something, stop by the studio. It's Bill and Wendy. We will take your calls, 312-981-7200.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
Is this you?
This is me.
And now you don't use your cell phone? Only the landline.
I have a direct line to Drake, the guy who co-wrote this song with me. But other than that, more times than not, I do not have. What's wrong?
You knew that was Drake. I'm
shocked.
Yeah,
come on.
Didn't he do it on SNL? Is that why you know it?
No. Oh, he may have his first time, but he didn't this last time when he was hosting. But I did. I know the song.
I didn't know it was Drake.
I'm tapped into the music business.
I wasn't as amazed as you because I didn't know.
I'm tapped into the music business. this started because was it yesterday, Steve, or 2 days ago? I just didn't have my phone with me and didn't notice.
It might have been yesterday. I don't know.
It might have been yesterday. I just spent the day not noticing, and then at the end, I went, I don't have a phone.
Well, you came into the when I was doing the business lunch. You came into the studio,
right?
And you had this look of panic because you had lost your phone.
Can I just tell you, Steve, who was panicking more when I came in
and
I said, "Oh my God, Bill has lost his phone."
No, the first thing you said, "Someone stole his phone."
But quick background: many times I've had luxury items stolen and always by Terry Savage. So I just assumed right. that Terry Savage and stole like my car a few years ago. I took my phone, but she didn't.
We're all like, Terry?
Right.
I was blaming John St. Augustine because I thought, because you leave your phone there and people put their stuff down when we're taking a picture. And I thought by mistake.
Yeah.
I called it expecting John St. Augustine to answer.
Mm-mm.
He did not.
Nope. Nope, nope. So the point I was trying to make is many days I don't have my phone with me and I live a better life without it. And I've been branded a heretic.
Hi, Wally.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Great. Good. What's up?
Good. Hang on. I've got a cell phone call.
Oh,
hang
sure.
On.
Go ahead. That's fine.
I'm just
All right, we'll wait.
You know, I think the thing, Bill, you're saying, you know, your life is better for it. And that's great. But I guess I would ask your daughters or your wife. I mean, they can't contact you because you don't have your phone.
But
I think
they don't.
Element...
Do they really contact you about a ton of things?
No, they know that more times than not, right. I don't have it.
Right, so they're not going to contact you, and I'm not saying that all the calls or tweets or texts or whatever that people are sending are critical, but it might be nice if you went to the store and your wife meant to tell you, in Wendy's example, you know, you need to get limes, but you don't have a phone with you, so you come home and then, well, either you don't have limes for the fajitas tonight, or you don't, you know, or you go back to the store.
And you'd
you
go back to the store,
hour.
Wouldn't you?
I'd go back to the store.
As most guys make five trips to the grocery store.
Yeah,
right.
But I think there's, you know, there's a little bit of, I think, some instant gratification. And again, I think there's far too much as far as, you know, texting and everything else that people are spending. But I think just having the phone and knowing that you can get somebody if you really need to is good. And I guess I would, you are more blissful without it, but I guess the question would be to your wife or your daughters, would it be nice if Bill had his phone and you could contact him when you need to? You know, if your daughter is walking around campus and she sees something cool and or wants to give you a call, you know, whatever it is, you know, is their life better because you don't have a phone? And I don't mean better, and that's a weird word, but...
No,
but
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I think I can answer for them. Because my phone, the thing that I get most out of my phone is frustration, because there's so many things I don't know how to do. So I think they would tell you, they would be the first to tell you, my life and their lives are all better. The less I have my phone near me, the better off we all are.
And
the better society is.
And they're used to waiting for Bill to come home to say, hey, Dad, check this out, or hey, Bill. Because really, you don't, just because you have your phone on you doesn't necessarily mean you're going to answer it, does it?
Mm-mm. No. Nope.
Well, okay, that's a whole other issue. you also may have mail, your Christmas cards piled up at home,
I
too,
do.
Right?
I do. I
Thanks,
gotta get
Wally.
Out. Thanks, Wally.
We appreciate it. This is Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Wendy. Listen, I have to tell you, I'm at Menards, and they've got the $5 annual planters on sale right now.
$5?
So, pick those up.
$5. Yeah.
For the annuals. I like the perennials because you get your money's worth. They keep coming back year after year.
I do, too, but I put these in the ground. I just take the whole thing out of the pot and put it in the ground for color. That's all.
All right,
anyway,
$5.
I was, as an aside, right. You know, I was calling to tell you that while I don't care for my three teenagers constantly being on their phones, it did save a friendship. My daughter's best friend moved to Ireland after sixth grade, and I'll tell you, she and her friends, they cooked together, they watched TV together, they studied together via FaceTime. And when she came back right before freshman year of high school, they just picked up like they had never been apart.
That's pretty cute, Bill.
And I know
really?
Stuff.
Why don't you and I do that on the weekend?
No, it's
we
only
can
for
have
people.
A beer
if
together.
You move, if you move to Ireland, I'll do it. That's
Wendy,
the only
we
way.
We can plant together, okay?
All right. Oh, do you think this color works?
I know that in stories like that, I know there's a bunch of reasons why there's good in this, but I fear for society because everybody is just so dependent on their phones 24 hours a day, and I don't get it. I don't understand it, but
I think we go through withdrawals like DTs sometimes when we don't have that phone with us. I mean, I remember the first time it happened to me, and my kids were still younger. You know, they were in middle school, elementary school, and I had gone to the doctor, and all I kept thinking is, what if something happens? They won't be able to get a hold of me. Not even bothering to consider the fact that, you know, they've got my mom's number on file, they've got my husband's number on file. I was just thinking of that moment that one of my kids was going to, like, fall in the playground and break their neck.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I was getting a mammogram, and you had to leave your phone in the locker when you take your shirt off and put the robe on.
Bad.
And I really, like, started almost having a panic attack. Like, what if they need me? I know it's probably only, like, you know, a half an hour, but
sure.
What if, like, I have to go somewhere or meet the ambulance? You start worrying about that.
I'm so conditioned. I get, you know, like, the phantom vibrate.
I do, too.
A lot of people do.
Oh, I totally do.
Yeah.
So I'm cutting one loose this year, so he's off to college, so we'll see how that does.
Well, you're going to need your phone now, because what if he needs you?
I'm thinking I won't answer it. Grow up. No, I'm kidding.
Mom, I'm overdrawn in my checking account. Could you put more in?
Yeah, that'll be a quick hang up.
Thanks, Lisa. Happy planting.
Bye. Thanks. Bye.
I know there's plenty of cases, as Lisa mentioned, one of them where you want to keep track of somebody who's, you know, far, far away. I know there's plenty of good
apart.
In it.
Come on, we can make margaritas together tomorrow. Yours can be frozen and mine not.
Bill, you can watch her make the soup so that you'll be more comfortable eating it when you go over.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm not asking you to drink my margarita.
No, I didn't. No,
come on.
No, I can't. I wish I could. I don't have that. My phone doesn't have that. I don't have that thing you're talking about.
FaceTime?
Yeah, we don't have that.
Yeah, you do.
No.
I know it's not an iPhone, but can't you get FaceTime through an Android or Windows phone?
I don't know
what kind of phone you have.
This is the only kind like this in the world.
I know.
Nobody else has this.
It's a Windows phone, I'm pretty sure.
It's based on what they call a tile system.
Right.
So
the guy told you to get that because it's the easiest to use.
I told him I worked at Color Tile, so that's why I got this, which I don't. All right, we have to take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's going to be more shows. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much.
I'm glad I had my iPhone with me because the light is burned out in the bathroom here at WGN Radio.
Right.
And it's pitch black in there, and so there's a little flashlight app on there.
How about that?
And then as soon as I finished, the light went on.
Oh, it did? That's unusual.
Are you sure you didn't go in the refrigerator again?
There's been memos, Wendy. You got to be more careful on your room selection. Did you see who's back in jail?
I know. I don't want to ruin it for everyone else.
Dustin Diamond is going back to the big house.
Just say Screech.
Screech. TV Screech is going back to jail in Wisconsin.
Now, what happened? Because I know he stabbed someone in Wisconsin on Christmas Eve.
It's an awful story.
And he was in jail.
Did you ever meet him?
No.
No?
I think I interviewed him on the phone.
I had him on at the last station, and he was very nice to me, but he was really weird to everybody else. I don't know why he was nice to me, because everybody else he was really weird to. And I saw it. I mean, I sat down with him. For people who don't know, Dustin Diamond was on Saved by the Bell for, I want to say, 5 or 6 years. He was Screech on the show, and has had an interesting turn of events throughout his life. We had him on because at the time he was peddling his own sex tape. He made a sex tape.
Great booking.
Yeah. I didn't make that booking.
Oh, okay.
I didn't put the booking together. But I just thought, you know, it'd be a novel thing to have Screech. And he comes in and he was extremely pleasant to me, but everybody else around, he was really weird too, you know? Here's the story. Former Saved by the Bell star Dustin Diamond is back in jail in Wisconsin after an official says he violated the terms of his parole. Ozaukee County jail records. Am I saying that right? Ozaukee? How do you say that?
Ozaukee. Milwaukee?
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
They show that Diamond, who was recently released after serving time for disorderly conduct and a concealed weapons conviction, was arrested on Wednesday, yesterday.
How did he violate his parole? He's a diamond in the rough.
That would be the perfect...
That's the headline.
If they turn this into an NBC after-school special, an ABC after-school special, that's the title. An official at the jail who answered the phone Wednesday, well, now you know it wasn't me, because I don't have my phone, declined to give his name, but says that Diamond was in custody because of probation violation. The official said he didn't have any further details. The 39-year-old Dustin Diamond was convicted in Wisconsin last year on charges stemming from a barroom brawl. He was released in April.
I wish you would have said... Oh,
what?
It's ballroom blitz. I'm sorry.
It was not a ballroom blitz. It was a barroom brawl. An attorney who represented Diamond in that case wasn't immediately available for comment. Diamond played Screech in the 1990s TV show Saved by the Bell. A show so popular, remember we talked about this? They opened up a restaurant, and the restaurant wasn't even close to being open yet, a pop-up restaurant, and they got thousands and thousands of reservations right off the bat. Everybody wants in on the Saved by the Bell craze.
And you say that the iPhone is ruining the world. It's already ruined.
It's partially ruining the world. He'd be one of the weirder celebrities to be in jail with. I'm trying to think of what celebrity would be. If you got to pick, let's say you committed a crime and they said, you got to go to jail, but you get to pick the celebrity who you room with.
Now, Wendy, has this ever been something you've wondered about?
Never.
Yeah.
But I can think of the worst, not worst
who'd
meaning.
Who'd be the best and the worst? Celebrity cellmates.
The worst would be Michael Madsen, and I say that because he would scare me.
Michael Madsen is a scary man.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, but...
If to be, like, his roommate...
Right.
I would fear for my life. I'm already shaking.
All right, so you're going Michael Madsen is the worst cellmate. Steve, do you have a choice?
I think I'd like to share a cell with Cher.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting cellmate.
Well, she's good at storytelling, and she could...
She'd do costume changes, but they'd all be striped.
There have been so many different versions of her, right?
Yeah.
She could sing at night.
Richard Lewis would be pretty bad, too, because I could not stand the complaining.
There would be a lot of complaining.
Cher's not afraid to do a duet.
Right.
There's no toilet paper.
Cher would say that this is her farewell tour.
Right, exactly.
It's my farewell parole tour. I'm only doing this once.
What about yours? Who is it? Dustin Diamond's a bad one. He wouldn't bother me that much.
The guy from Duck Dynasty would be bad to have as a cellmate. Phil Robertson? I don't think I would do well.
I think he's already in jail.
I don't think he's not in jail, but that would be a long haul to be with him for any length of time.
Oh.
Olivia Wilde would be nice.
Okay, you know, you're
that would
done.
Be a fun cellmate.
You're done with this fantasy game.
No, he's not.
All right, taxi driver Bob, what is shaking?
Not a tremendous amount, but I think it would be kind of funny if him and Mike Tyson shared a cell and Mike Tyson bit his ear or something like that.
That'd be cool. That'd be fun.
That would not be cool.
Well, for the sake of argument.
Taxi driver Robert De Niro, I'd want to be in prison with.
That'd be excellent.
He'd have some great stories.
Wouldn't he have? Yeah, the time would go by.
Absolutely.
The time would fly by.
10 and 2 position, Bob. Thank you. Why do people have to have nicknames? Are you Radio Bill?
Yeah, I'm Radio Bill. That's my CB handle.
I wouldn't put you with Olivia Wilde, by the way. They
I
don't
know,
have co-ed cells.
I know there's no prison in America that would put me with Olivia Wilde.
In my dreams.
If she committed a crime and I committed a crime, I'd say to the parole office, look, is there some way...
Well, and maybe you could commit your crime overseas where they do have those prisons.
That's not a bad idea, Steve.
If
That's
you
a
were
solid idea.
Roommates with Olivia Wilde, there would be a crime committed. Right. I'll just say that.
Right. That would be my version of heaven and her version of hell at the exact same time.
The yin and the yang makes life go around.
The exact same moment. Oh, no, I'm in heaven. Oh, no, I'm in hell. We'd say that simultaneously. Ed Asner would be fun.
Oh, he'd be crabby.
He'd be crabby, but that's part of the love of Ed Asner.
Not when you're stuck in a small, confined space.
No, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not like he's on a beach. That's where you are crabby. You're in jail.
Right?
Right. Crabby on a beach bothers people, not
right.
in jail.
Right. Gilbert Gottfried would be a lot of fun in jail. Would you go to jail with Gilbert Gottfried? I would do that.
He's too tiny.
More space for you.
He'd make me spoon with him, though. He would. He'd be scared.
There's a chance. No, there's
he
a
would.
Chance. No, I know. It's,
he's little. He's diminutive.
Jail is a scary place, and yeah, I could see that. So what? That's all right.
Start using your phone more, will you? So you stop whipping this stuff out.
A lot of people, when they have these thoughts, they just start playing solitaire, Bill.
Right. I get it. I know.
God.
It's a curious thing. If you had the chance, if they said to you, and they don't, I know that they don't, but if they did, they go, oh no, guess what? 8 to 10 in Leavenworth. Cause I always hear that in movies. You got 8 to 10 in Leavenworth, see? And then I go, oh no, not 8 to 10 in Leavenworth. And they go, who's the best choice and the worst choice? Any celebrity, that's your cellmate.
Who's the guy who played Kung Fu?
David Carradine.
Oh, he's no longer with
he's
us.
Gone.
Oh, okay.
No,
cause
he
he'd be a
it.
Bad cellmate.
He'd be a bad cellmate. You're right.
I know.
I would not like David Carradine to be my cellmate. That would have been awful.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. Bill has come up with a crazy thought. Sometimes you have to keep those thoughts in your head.
Well, like, remember when I talked to the MB people a couple of years ago about big wheel the drive? And they're like, well, we already have bike the drive. And I go, I know, but big wheel the drive is even cooler. And they never returned my call, did they?
Exactly like that.
Yeah. So there was a game that was very popular over the last year or two, and it's called, I don't think I can say the whole title on the air. you take three people and you say whether you want to marry them, kill them, or
have sex with them?
Yes. Right. So I said, well, that game's all well and good. But how about my game where you go to some sort of a prison and you get to pick the best or the worst celebrity cellmate? That's a fun game.
You could still do those three choices,
yeah. Oh,
though.
Yeah. You got all kinds of time in jail. You could do all three in one day if you wanted to.
Kill him, marry him, or have sex
with
him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's up to you.
All right. Well, Ed Asner came up. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fine, Ed. What's going on?
Hey, well, you were talking about Ed Asner as your cell partner, cellmate.
Yeah.
And a little over a year ago, my wife and I were at O'Hare, and we're sitting in one of the little coffee shop deals there, and we look across the way, and there's Ed. And so my wife is a big big Ed Asner fan from, we've been on a lot of Hallmark movies and such.
Sure.
So she walks over there, and she's like, you think that's him? And I said, yeah. So she sits down and talks to him, and he gives me the nod, you know, from across the room. Later, he finishes his lunch, comes over to me and my wife later on, and says hi to us. He almost sat down, but we just, you know, passed the time of day with him for a few minutes. The guy is a great guy.
He Isn't that nice? Anytime you can spend time with Ed Asner, that's a good day, I think.
It was a great day. I mean, you guys, love your show, guys.
Thank
Keep
you.
It up.
Thanks, love Ed. It.
Thank you, Ed.
That's what I'm saying. If Ed Asner was my celebrity cellmate in this jail in Leavenworth, I think the day would go by very quickly. I'd ask him stories about Mary Tyler Moore Show, about Rich Man, Poor Man.
And then you'd be out of stuff. And then you'd just be sitting there and he'd go, when is the sandwich coming?
He'd also probably want me to shave his back every once in a while.
Oh, my
God. All right. I'm rethinking Ed Asner because then it's like, you know, we had such a good time, Ed, with the stories about Up, because he was in Up, and I'd ask him, boy, that beginning of Up was so sad. How'd you get through that without crying? And then at some point, he'd probably go, hey, would you mind shaving? And I'd go, I'd prefer not to. So
a straight edge?
I would think so, yeah. Don't you think?
No.
How much Noxzema? I would have to say, bring all the Noxzema you have. Bring it to cell 19, because this is going to be all day. We're probably going to miss dinner.
See, honest to God, and I am not kidding you, this is why I play Candy Crush so much, because there are things that I just shouldn't say out loud.
No, I'm not saying any of this out loud. This is just internal. I don't want anyone to hear this. They'd lock me up for real.
Oh my God. Hi, Bill. Listener Bill, how are you? This is Radio Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Radio Bill. This is Listener Bill.
Regular Bill? Hi. What's up?
Yeah. I would think if you're going to spend time in jail with anybody, I would want it to be with anybody who could do a lot of impressions.
Yeah.
Because then it would be like being with a lot of different people.
Right. That's true.
You wouldn't get bored.
So who would you go with? Any ideas?
I don't know. Anybody famous that does a lot of impressions?
Fred Travellina still around?
He's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone. He's gone.
You know, I'm going to be in jail. I can't be too picky. Just anybody.
Right.
Michael Winslow would kind of get annoying with just the sound effects, don't you think?
Yeah.
Here's a dripping faucet in the jail cell.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. Can you do that noise? See?
Well, and here's the thing, you know, then you know, it's like, what sound effects does he do? Does he learn new ones from the jail cell?
And some of the sound effects could mess with you, because what if it was like prison door opening and you get all excited?
Keys jingling.
Right, you go, oh, they're letting us out. No, it's just Michael Winslow messing with me.
With my luck, he'd start doing, like, if there's a lunch bell or something, he'd start doing it four times a day so that I'd think it was lunch. You know, stuff like that. Because, he's in jail, so obviously.
No, sure.
He's not going to be in a good mood.
Have a good one.
Thanks, Bill.
Bye, listener, Bill. Betty White would be a great cellmate for me.
Wouldn't she be nice?
Because she could get us out of there.
Yeah.
She'd break us out of
right.
there.
Oh, how about somebody really thin who could slip?
Emo
Phillips is a very thin man. So if you had him as a cellmate, you know, when no one's looking, he just goes between the bars, gets the keys, gets me out.
I'm going to get the keys right. and some coleslaw.
Right. Right. Wouldn't that be nice?
Seriously.
You
got to
think this out.
Play Candy Crush. Get a phone that works. That would help
and all. And then
all
these
us.
Thoughts will go away.
Yes.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.